change. Clouds roll in from the north, then it start to rain. Rained real hard, it rained for a real long time. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. River rose all day, the river rose all night. Some people got lost in the flood, some people got away all right. River have busted through, laid down a plaque of mine. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline.
This is Larry Arnett. Stay tuned for an extended version of The Bottom Line, 4 to 6 p.m., coming up right now, right here on WAIF Cincinnati.
to The Bottom Line with Larry Arnett. Larry will take your phone calls at 749-1444. And now, here's Larry.
All right, welcome to another edition of The Bottom Line. This is Larry Arnett, coming to you normally every Thursday at 5:06 p.m., but right now on our show, taking over the Curved Air dudes. I guess they're on a, Labor Day. I didn't know that it was in their contract, I guess. Labor Day hiatus. So, you know, you're making it big time when you can take off on Labor Day. Probably paid, too, knowing those guys. So anyway, what's going on here? We'll be on 4 to 6 p.m., and as usual, we videotape these programs. So if you're a Time Warner customer, check out the website, larrysbottomline.com. We run our shows every Sunday, 4 p.m., Time Warner Channel 24, and every Wednesday night, 9 p.m., Time Warner Channel 4. And again, you can find all the info on our website, larrysbottomline.com, just the way it sounds, no apostrophes. What else is going on here, man? Lots going on, and unfortunately, none of it good. As the Bush presidency heads into Carter territory, Jimmy Carter territory. Unfortunately, it's not just like the Carter presidency. It's like Carter and Nixon put together, and we do have a guest. The late but always fashionable, happy hemptress of pot, a.k.a. Lynn Wilson.
Anything else out there this afternoon?
Okay, hey, it's always, you know...
And actually, folks, I was here. I just had to go to the bathroom.
She doesn't leave any stone unturned.
Not at all, that's for sure.
All right, let's get into the show. And again, we're going to have to repeat everything we're doing here almost for the second hour because a lot of my listeners don't tune in until 5. They're brainwashed. Or, hey, I didn't know that was there. Cool, I was looking for that.
All right, well, see how good I am? I find things that you don't even know where they are.
I thought I did.
What'd you do without me, Larry?
I don't know. It's weird. It's a good idea.
Let's see. Let's get on with the show, for God's sake.
Absolutely.
WAIF-FM is a community radio station that serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during the program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or its board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my views, Lynn's views, whoever may call in. And the following program contains material that may be considered offensive or unsuitable to some listeners. If you are sensitive to such programming, please tune away at this time. Tune back at 6 o'clock for Kitty's Blues. Let's get on with the WAIF FM reminds you to buy products made from recycled materials. And with Lynn here, I guess that means hemp.
You bet.
Okay.
And other recycled materials as well.
Okay. What would that be?
Plastics.
Plastics? You're into plastics, man?
Let's recycle it all. But, you know, it'd be better if you could make those plastics out of hemp. Then they're even biodegradable.
Okay.
And we wouldn't be destroying our environment and seeing what's happening in New Orleans and Biloxi, what's going on right now.
It's unfathomable.
I want to address that later.
Yeah, okay. Well, and again, we're on for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Extended version, and we're going to have to repeat a lot of this during the 5 o'clock hour because not a lot of my people, I don't care how much you remind them, I don't know what it is with my audience.
They're just so sensitive.
They're really sensitive. Please. Chef Club Fool, play rugby, stupid. Queen City Rugby Club is looking for new players. Rugby is a physically and mentally demanding sport. I just love those rugby players. What is that thing they use, the rugby? You must be... What are they playing? Is it a ball? What?
Come on,
we really know.
I'm such a sports fanatic. I just don't know either. I just don't know.
You must be able to hit hard. Oh, I just love people that hit hard. And outthink the goalpost. I've met a few goalposts in my time. I had no problem outthinking them. Practices are Tuesday and Thursday night. If you practice, you play. Call 1-888-RUCKOVER. Ruckover for more details. Alternating currents. Okay. The nation's second longest.
I didn't know I was going to do this. This is serious.
Longest running gay and lesbian radio program. Tune in each Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. for the latest gay and lesbian news, interviews,
and
music.
Great group of people.
They are.
They absolutely are.
This week's show is going to be on Throwing on Burlap. I know you've done this, Lynn.
You know, original burlap was made out of hemp, Larry.
Oh, I knew if it was something like that, you'd smoke it. You'd smoke anything. I got news
for
you.
I'd wear it. I don't know about smoking it.
There's been some tough nights when Lynn was hard up. She ended up smoking Lynn.
Golly.
Where, you know, you drop the bag in your pocket.
Right.
You're going to pull it out. And
I know
the
it's there somewhere.
Over.
There's something.
I know there's enough bud in there.
Right.
God. What a crowd, huh? Wild. For a show that's as old as the station itself, tune in to the weekly array of interesting guests, lots of Judy Garland music, and not to mention topics relative to the local gay community. Alternative radio brought to you by WAIF Cincinnati, WAIF Cincinnati. And what else is going on? You know, it's got some women going in that building over there. One of these days. Okay.
Well, yeah. At least you have a nice view, Larry.
I know. I do. That's why I like the studio. I can't get out of that voice.
And you're looking at girls?
That's true. I'm bisexual. Just get off my back. I want you to get on
or get on your back, whichever you prefer.
Get on to something else. That's right. But seriously, folks, we're doing the Curved Air show today, and God, there's lots to talk about, and probably leave a lot of it for the second hour, but, you know, you can't go on without, and by the way, you know, sometimes at night I wake up and just can't sleep, so I tune into radio. I like to listen to talk radio.
I recommend smoking a joint.
Well, whatever.
You know.
But, you know,
or read a book.
It gets expensive, doesn't it? But anyway.
If you wake up every night.
Yeah.
And depending on how often.
Yeah, you must, this girl here, you must have the weirdest dreams because you're always stoned. And I mean,
dreams.
You must, you know, one of these days you're going to come in and just talk about your dreams because it's got to be some bizarre dreams.
Sometimes
I had some weird dreams. I have pretty weird dreams actually myself. You know, dreams that, you ever have those dreams where.
I have dreams like I'm going to be in a Pink Floyd concert and things like that.
Or else just something where, like, you know, something or someone out of your past, way out of your past, something someone you haven't thought about for eons comes back into a dream. And you went, what the hell was that all about?
Why was I thinking about that person?
I know. I mean, wonder what that's all about. You know,
what's really weird is if a week later they send you an email.
That'd be weird. But
after
I just
years
wonder,
of not hearing from
you. Know, there's everybody's got their reasonings. You know, it's just your, you know, at rest because your brain's at rest. Haha. You know, it's free to bring in whatever thoughts have ever been
actually,
there.
Actually, it's spilling out.
Is that what it's doing?
Yeah, that's really what dreams are, is just all the conglomerated thoughts of the day and the week. And it's like a pressure cooker, the brain. That's why we need sleep. If we don't have sleep, we will go mad. And the sleep is the pressure cooker letting the pressure out. And that's what dream state is, and that's what dreams are. It's all just the little thoughts. They form these things. Now, I'm not going to get into psychic dreams and all that because I think there's some element of that also. But on regular dreaming, it's the brain releasing pressure and just thoughts. It could be something you saw on TV when you weren't even paying attention to the TV, but it's still recorded in your brain. It has to go somewhere because there's just too much going on in your head otherwise.
Or else people, you know, try to say that, oh, it's, you know, we've lived past lives.
Absolutely.
So sometimes that kind of resurfaces in dreams.
Can be that as well.
Or some people tell me, like, you know, my mom died a few years ago and, you know, I'll dream about her. Now, of course, some people, she's trying to talk to you. You know, that, you know.
What if
I'm just thinking about her?
You know, of course, it all depends on what people's beliefs are. I come from the end of the spectrum that I think that is a possibility. I think we probably do live different lives, some in the past, some in the future, depending on your perspective. And they can come through your dreams and your everyday waking consciousness. But normally, on just regular dreams, as I was saying, that is a pressure release for the brain, and that's why we need sleep. And if we don't dream, that is also a symptom of a mental disorder. And there's dream clinics that study that kind of stuff and try to help people.
Yeah, and imagine what some of those people are dreaming about. I got news for you. There's only one thing probably they're dreaming about.
Food.
And coming or getting home or going home.
Finding
or,
a home again.
Or finding a home again.
And the question I have is, are they even dreaming? Because are they sleeping? Where are they sleeping? Do they
I
have
know.
Time to sleep?
And you know,
you see, that's what's going on down there. You know, there's all over all the other radio stations, there's talk about why the looting's going on, why things are happening down there right now, Larry. You know, let's face it, you stick thousands of people, and I don't care what color they are
right.
or where, what economic situation they're from. If George Bush was down there in the middle of this, he'd be looting also.
Well,
because they're in a situation
right.
which is mad.
Right.
It's already mad,
right.
and these people have no food, water. You don't eat for a few days. Your brain starts
right.
to deteriorate, and you will go mad,
right.
or you will find something to eat.
Right.
And you will kill the person in front of you to get it, because that's what survival of the fittest is, and that's what's going on down there. They have nothing else to do but go crazy right now because of their fears and everything else.
Yeah, and, you know, your buddy, and, of course, I know you're friends with a lot of these guys at Clear Channel, and I don't have anything against them. I'm just saying, you know, this guy's Bill Cunningham
was earlier today.
In his element today. of course, making it a racial thing.
Well, you know, he really wasn't. It was mostly the listeners. And he kept saying, he quoted over and over again, this is not a racist thing. This is a behavior thing. He said this numerous times.
See, you don't get it. What Billy Baby's doing.
Well, he's kind of, you know, saying that they have the behavioral problems, but that it isn't a color issue. It is more of the callers calling in, that's for sure, because I sat there for a good hour listening. And some of those callers I wanted to smack through the radio. I do think... You know, it's funny, you know, Bill usually says, I love Bush. Well, what's really funny is he's actually saying it's his fault from the top down. He's also blaming Bush, and that's the first time I've ever heard him blame Bush for anything. So
he threw in a really contrary little whatever.
Yeah, but there's some element there, and I agree. So I got a little tired of it, and I tuned over to The Buzz and just...
Lincoln, I heard a little bit of Lincoln earlier, and he did take a little bit of what you were saying and saying that... He understood some of the looting, which, you know...
I do. I really do.
But, you know, I don't know about the TVs and the... You know,
well,
come on.
That's a little extreme because they really have no place to sell it. I can understand the jewelry, you know. The city is nothing now, and it probably won't be if ever again, you know, for a very long time. And for survival, they're seeing money in the jewelry. They can go to other towns and sell it and have a life. That's what's going through their head. Am I condoning it? No, but I do understand it. Okay.
Yeah.
You can't eat a diamond, but you certainly can go to the next town and sell it and get some food.
Well, needless to say, it's mass chaos.
It is mass chaos. That's
exactly
right.
You know, I just think that if this is just a shining example of what's going to happen, God forbid, should we have a...
It will happen anywhere when you have thousands of people with no food and water and no place to go. That's what's going to happen. That is the human element, not the black, not the purple, not the green, not the white. It is human survival.
Well, again, I, you know, Cunningham, your buddy, is up there doing the racial thing. Because his audience is a lot of racists.
Yeah, that listen and call into his show, yes.
But what I was, and we'll get back to that in a little bit, and we're going to cover that a lot in the 5 o'clock hour, because that's when my, I don't know, 749-1444, if you want to call in. Again, my listeners don't ever remember, even if it's on my website, I'm usually on, obviously, 5 to 6.
And, yes.
But seriously, what I was going to get back to before was, in the middle of the night, so I wake up.
Yes.
I turn on, I don't know what station this was. I think it was somewhere, it might have been in the Northeast. I don't know. And they brought up your buddy, that Woolridge guy.
Howard Woolridge.
They mentioned
Woolridge,
him.
Yes.
I guess he was on the air with
him. Yeah, because
guy.
He's on almost to New York right now.
So he
right
had
now.
Another interview.
Wonderful. He's been getting interviews from California on out.
So why don't you bring up, give an update on that, because for people maybe who are listening, who didn't hear this before, you were in touch with this guy who's riding a horse.
Absolutely. He's riding his horse, Misty, and he has another one as an alternative to switch back and forth for the 30 miles each day that he's riding. Howard Woolridge is a former police officer, retired police officer out of Michigan. Now, I actually had this backwards. I think I confused him because there are so many, believe it or not, Larry, there are so many retired officers that are with LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, that I kind of forget sometimes who the different ones are, and I have to apologize to Howard, although he can't hear. He wasn't a sheriff in Texas. He moved from Michigan to Texas, and he wears a big old Texan hat, so he looks like a sheriff. That could have been it as well. Maybe I was stoned that day. I don't know. But he is a retired police officer, maybe, from Michigan. He held the DUI record in Michigan for the highest DUIs that he ever got when he was on the force. Since moving to Texas and retiring, he has joined LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You mm-hmm. can find them at www.leap.cc. Their message is, of course, on his t-shirt, and the other folks wear them as well, is legalized drugs, or cops say legalized drugs, ask me why. Well, they'll tell you why. It's a total abysmal failure is what the drug war is. And instead of preparing New Orleans and other places for disasters, we're blowing money not only in Iraq, that's a whole other issue, but on the drug war, throwing people in prison. I want to know what's going on with the prisoners that are stuck in the prisons down there.
Hey, you know, they didn't mention that because
one place I've heard where they had them lined up on the street, they got them out and they had them on the road and they had sheriffs with guns on them so they wouldn't run. That was the only thing I've heard about prisoners. So what Howard is doing to make the point for LEAP and for what he believes personally is he's now the second time. This is his Paul Revere rides again.
Mm-hmm.
He started in California, and he's riding all the way to New York, 30 miles a day on Misty's horse and rotating with the other horse as well so they don't get tired out, staying at people's farms along the way. Everybody's helping him. Of course, he's getting media. And his message is to the country, cops, that he knows and others that he doesn't know want to end this drug war because it's not only a waste of tax-paying dollars, it is harming the country more than the drugs themselves. And it's wrong. The definition of insanity is if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, you're just insane. And the drug war is insane, and that's what his message is. So apparently, like you said, you woke up, he's almost to New York, so his ride's almost over.
Right, and I don't know where he was calling from. Again, you're listening to an extended version today of The Bottom Line. It's Larry and Ed, along with the Happy Hemptress. She's here talking about some weed stuff, and of course, we're talking about what's going on in America here. Just what a horrible week. And I can't imagine. What? Go ahead.
I was just saying, one of your callers is always saying, and of course, you tease me as well, that I can always take everything and turn it into hemp. Well, I'm going to do that here a little bit later on what happened in New Orleans and Biloxi.
You're going to turn it around on hemp?
Yes, absolutely.
749-1444, if you do want to give us a call. We're just all over the map today. And, what I didn't get, I haven't heard this mentioned, is the fact that why didn't they build, you go down to Newport or something, you see the wall there, the flood wall, thing's huge. I just didn't get the idea. Maybe I'm wrong because I didn't see a close-up picture of it. It's the same deal with the
levees.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. But instead of it being like these hills of mud, it's made out of other things and they broke.
Yeah, but
and that's what spilled the water into the bowl of the city because it's below sea level. So it just filled up.
I know, I understand that, but I mean, you would think. I mean, they built the Great Wall of China. Didn't these guys?
Nothing could knock that
didn't
down.
Didn't these guys ever foresee some catastrophic event where they would
they
have
to? They didn't care. The Corps of Engineers guy says, well, we prepared for a level 3.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. Yeah. Even that is something Willie was talking about, slamming the guy. Hello, this, what about the level 4 and 5?
Well, we
just thought that, cost assessment, blah, blah, blah. So right there, if the Iraqi war wasn't happening and the drug war wasn't happening, look how much money we would have to fix this stuff to prevent this from happening.
And
I'm pissed.
You're right.
I'm the pissed off hemptress.
Well,
right
I don't
now.
Blame you. And I'll tell you something. I agree because I think the massive effort of troops and National Guard, whoever is left from not being in Iraq, they're just getting there
or
tomorrow.
There.
They're
calling troops from Iraq. They should have been here anyway.
I know. I think what's happening now, and I'll talk about this again more, and we'll leave a lot of this for the 5 o'clock hour, because, again, I just read a big article the other day. This is something I brought up recently, and I'll bring it up again more in the next hour. But still, ratings for Limbaugh, Hannity, and a lot of big markets are falling big
I
time.
I hope so.
And along with what's going on now with Bush's ratings falling, what maybe is happening you just hope it's not hopefully a dip due to post-election, boredom with everything political.
No, people are waking up.
I hope that's the case.
That's what's happening.
With America, you never freaking know if it's the case or not. And I hope, but, you can lie to people so long with so much and with so much effort and using the fear factor and everything else. But you would think after a while when they begin, even an idiot, the dawning of reality starts to, invade what's left of these people's brains, and they see, for God's sakes, you fool, don't you get it? You're being scammed.
Yeah.
There is no problem. We were never threatened with Iraq.
Unfortunately, most of the people that are scammed are middle and upper income. The lower income who doesn't vote, they know, and that's why they're disenfranchised. They see the big picture, and that's why we have what's going on down in Louisiana, along with the human element of disaster, blah, 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 blah. They're like, screw these guys. I'm getting what I can because it's survival of the fittest.
Well, I think the people that are really I think the people that are being scammed and the people that are really hurting America are hurting the rest of us who are obviously no better are the middle class. They're the ones that are really perpetrating this horrendous.
That's true too. Middle class and up.
Well, the middle class are the ones that are really the blue collar types, the right winger types who really
the red state types.
Yeah. Who really buy into the flag waving, the country music, the God, the gays, the guns, the whole recipe for winning. And
there's a song out. I don't remember the artist's name. I think you can go to eagle.com or something like that and search for it. He's a country singer and he's singing a song in which he invokes Jesus and God and all that in there. But what he's doing is he's slamming Bush and his cohorts for lying to the American people, and that invoking the name of Jesus is totally evil for what he's doing because they're the true believers and he's not, and look what the mess he's gotten us into, and they're going to pay. And that's the message of the song. So even those people might be waking up a little bit.
I hope so. And I hope, after God knows how many years now, people have been listening to Hannity and Limbaugh and just the water carriers for the Bush administration.
Right.
They have no integrity. It's
not
everything Bush and the Republicans do is right. more ways than one.
Right.
And, you know, everything the Democrats stand for.
Because they're good old boys.
Oh, man. And, I mean, and these guys, and, you know, the thing about the middle class, what they don't get, Limbaugh and Hannity, more power to them. I mean, you know, they found a niche and they're working it and they're making, they're millionaires.
Right.
Of course they want the Bush and the right wingers.
They're not down there in Louisiana helping.
No, no. And you think they'll be, no, they probably will run down there and use that story for all they can get on tonight's show. They'll be down there with Sean, you know, not Limbaugh. He could care less about anybody.
He just wants his oxies.
Yeah, exactly. What a freaking drug addict.
Yeah.
And speaking of drugs.
Rush Limburger, that's what I like to call it.
Speaking of drugs. You are listening to The Bottom Line, special two-hour edition here on the extended version of The Bottom Line program. And you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
What's going on with you, dude?
I'm thinking that they're down there figuring it out up there in Washington. They're figuring out how they're going to pimp this thing already into their advantage,
oil.
Their political advantage.
Oil.
Well, you know, what? How much more damage can they do to the American public? I mean, for God's sakes, we've never been this reamed before. This is like the Carter year. It's like Carter and Nixon together. That's what this administration is like.
Well, I think
like,
Carter would balance.
It's like two terms of the previous Bush is what it's like.
Yeah, that's true. That
well, I think finally, the current Bush, I mean, his ratings are in the can. I think he's got the lowest ratings ever of any second-term modern-day president. I think people are starting to wake up, and as I said before...
Well, he's earned that, you know. He's done everything
sure.
he can do to... I mean, how much worse could somebody do?
I don't know. They got us into a needless war. Prices and inflation will soon fire up.
It can get worse, buddy. I'm really
it
sorry.
It will get worse.
But it can get much
well,
worse.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is he's put the trend in place.
We're on a downhill slide.
The next
slide.
Guy is really screwed. I mean... What a tremendous cleanup this guy's going to have to do, the next guy. Whatever party he's from or whatever, you know, he's really screwed the next guy.
Well, so, but you know what? Remember, though, they said that after the last Bush presidency, they said whoever came in after Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush was going to have to do the same thing. It was a massive cleanup because of all the debt. Bill Clinton handed over what was, in essence, a surplus to this
right.
Bush presidency.
And look what Bush did with
now it's everything is just in the can. And you know what? People now, and you can see it with the ratings dive that Hannity and Limbaugh are taking, people now are waking up. It's not Bill Clinton. No, you can't keep blaming 9/11 for the troubles.
Nope.
This man has mismanaged our government, and we're paying the price.
Oh, he didn't mismanage. He's looting our government.
Yeah, right.
I don't give the well. He just doesn't understand and doesn't know what he's doing. They know exactly what they're doing, Larry. They're looting our country, and
right.
Look what's happening now.
I think what's happening on the radio is just a lack of creative content, and that's what's happening on their radio ratings. As far as Bush, I mean, he told everybody he was going to straighten things out in this term, and he hasn't straightened out, you know, one thing.
Diddly.
Not even one. I mean, he had picked out one thing and said, I'm going to straighten this out.
Well, you know, another...
War.
And you know what? One problem is, one thing, you know, about America, when you start having one, and you got one major problem, and you don't see another problem coming, and all of a sudden it happens, and all of a sudden people, they believe their whole life is becoming unraveled, and there's a very strong unease in the country.
That's exactly
and that's what's
right.
going on right now.
That's what's happening
sort
in Louisiana,
happened,
but they're right in the middle of their unease.
It sort of happened in the late 60s because Vietnam at its peak in 1968, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you had Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy assassinated.
Yeah.
The streets were alive with fire and looting,
yeah.
and the country was at its worst. And now we're sort of repeating the whole scenario again.
The human race does that, unfortunately.
Well,
yeah.
We're waiting for the chickens to come home and roost, you know, and that's pretty much what's going on is that everything we've ignored, New Orleans, they knew. In fact, you know, I heard you talk about the Corps of Engineers. They set up a scenario where this could happen.
Yeah.
And they chose to ignore it. The local politicians down there chose to ignore it.
Right. They only wanted the level 3 security on the levees.
And all of these things, as far as all the short sighting and everything, keeping the, you know, money in the taxpayers' pocket and all of that, who isn't for that except that there are certain things that we're going to have to, you know, open up our wallet and take
Absolutely.
Care of. And when a city's in a precarious position like New Orleans was, they should have set their priorities.
It's too late now.
So should the country.
Too late to say anything except that, you know, when we are looking at what happened, you know, just the little itty-bitty place right across there, was it Wilder that got wiped out in that flood, what, 10
yeah.
years ago?
Yeah.
But the other communities around it that had the flood walls, they survived it with little to no damage.
Right.
And I don't know what it's a Beechmont levee made out of. Is that like a big berm or something? Or what? I mean, why don't they make these things? Why don't they just create a big wall out of cement?
Yeah.
Is the levee down there out of cement? I don't get it. What's it made out of?
It's an earth levee. They do that, and they backfill it with gravel and stuff. But
well, that ain't strong enough.
And they hold under almost all conditions.
They what?
But, you know, there are going to be conditions where they don't. They break.
Yeah, priorities.
It was absolutely ridiculous that they left that city
vulnerable.
As bad as it was, I mean, they had Lake Pontchartrain, is that what it's called,
yes.
over on the one side?
Yeah.
And they had, and of course, they had the Caribbean up against them and the Mississippi. Then all this water is just completely surrounding the place. They're sitting below it, and they had a single flood wall instead of a series of dikes, which is what they should have had and may have contained this. But, I mean, it was their problem, and they refused to handle it. The poor, unfortunately, are going to be the ones that suffer the most.
Yeah, it's a drag. They're going
to, nowhere to go.
And I don't know how much money. I mean, granted, the government put in a ton of money for those people that were victims and the families of the 9/11 victims. But, I mean, for God's sakes, how many times are we going to bail people out? We're bailing Iraq out. We're bailing people out. I mean, where's all the money going to go? I mean, private donations are going to really help. But, I mean, you know, you get sucked into one major problem, like we just mentioned before, Iraq. And then when you have real problems, and that's what I've been saying all along about real homeland security. Had we just focused our attention on the people that attacked us, kept our eye on the prize, so to speak, of bin Laden and the rest, we had what's-his-name contained. And, you know, I think history will show that they cherry-picked the intelligence, and this was an elective war. It wasn't necessary. And now we're screwed and we're bogged down. And with all our resources, manpower, effort, and energy focused on Iraq to protect our own country, look how screwed we are. And, you know, this doesn't look good. The whole scenario is not being handled very well. It's going to be catch-up time, and then I don't know what we're going to do over time for these people. You've got, a million or more people just out of work, out of their home lives. The only good thing about this are people who are involved in the rebuilding effort are going to make a killing. And something tells me it's probably going to be Halliburton when it's all said and done. I got news for you.
And the carpetbagger syndrome will start over again, you know. And I'm just, it's very sad. This country has shown its vulnerability over the past 10 years. And it's been a trend. I mean, not only on defense, but on this sort of thing, where we've just not really built our infrastructure to withstand any real threats that could come down the pike.
Well, you know, again, we all agree that the Iraqi war has definitely taken funds away from this country that should have been diverted to things like this prior to the disaster. I firmly believe that it's, again, beyond that the drug war, which is billions of dollars a year wasted money, could have been better spent fixing that levee and other things around this country. That has been going on for 30 years, not the couple of years we've been in Iraq, okay? You know, I have to give a perspective here, especially because we were talking about the other station kind of hitting on the racist issue and stuff. I saw an article today that came out of Russia where they're saying that our media is not even showing us the truth, that there's 50,000 people dead down there.
They don't know that.
Now, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Now, the reason why I bring that up is we don't know whether that's true or not, but I do know one thing that's true about Russia. During the years back in, I guess, the 20s and 30s, when I don't remember, it was the Bolsheviks or what, I could have all my history wrong on. Who was the leader at the time? Oh,
well, back then it would have been, I guess, was Stalin in power?
Stalin,
then?
I think it was Stalin. He created their country's mess so bad that he stole the land from the farmers and everybody in the outlying areas and gave it to his supporters, which caused all of the people on the outside of the country, the outskirts of the country and in the farming lands and everything, that they were starving so bad,
right,
Larry, that they ended up eating each other.
Wow.
Okay, so we haven't seen chaos yet in New Orleans. Now, this is true history. Well, I never, ever heard this in my class in school, but I saw a special on PBS, and it was actually about cannibalistic mass murderers. And it came out because one of them was a little boy growing up in this in Russia, and he saw people picking up dead bodies and taking them home to eat them in order to survive. Therefore, he had been desensitized, so when he became the mass murderer, which I'm sure that could have created some of the angst in his mind, he was eating people at the same time.
You sure Jeffrey Dahmer didn't see that?
Maybe so. So, you know this
not
happened.
Funny.
Ron,
quit laughing. I can hear you.
This happened with the disaster with the plane up in the snow mountains.
Well, that's,
they ended up reverting to eating each other.
I don't think it's going to happen in New Orleans.
Well,
they got too
not.
Much good. And if it does happen in New Orleans, at least they're going to put some Cajun spice on it.
Yeah, so there you go. It'll,
but
I'm just trying to make that point.
From the fridge. I mean, you needed a midnight snack here and there, you know.
Golly. Better get some food down there quick. This is.
They really need to. And are there any real concerted, organized efforts other than the Red Cross Salvation Army?
No, the government is going to send troops and everybody down there, and they're going to be there's. This is something on the size and scope of little of what we've ever seen before. You know, maybe after 9/11, but this is
the
even
tsunami.
Greater. This is greater than that. The tsunami. But in America, though. And
the difference in the tsunami was they didn't have many places to loot.
That's true.
Well, for one, and for two, they didn't want U.S. troops there, if you remember.
Yeah, right. No, forget it. We don't want you. All right, forget it. We're going. We got to go back to Iraq anyway. That's where we're blowing our gig. All right, Ron.
Okay, man.
Keep
Thank
in touch.
You.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you.
All right, take care.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to make the point that everybody's screaming, oh, the looters, they're horrible. You know, it could get so bad that they might have to do something
crazy.
Well,
I don't think it's going to get that bad.
I'm just showing an extreme case that obviously that we hope that doesn't happen, and I don't think it's going to because we can probably, you know, in that country, they were taking from the people, not trying to help
them.
And
you're talking about the 20s and 30s in Russia.
Right.
For God's sakes.
Oh, absolutely. It's a whole different circumstances. But my point is that it's, again, human nature. Humans will resort to anything to survive under the circumstances that they are in.
Well, and that is what she's saying. I guess that's your excuse for the looting.
No, it's not an excuse. It's the reason.
Right.
I can step back and not point fingers and go, I see why that's happening.
Right.
That caused this.
Yeah, okay. You're listening to an extended version today of The Bottom Line. Larry Arnett here along with Lynn. The Happy Hemptress is here. Can help me through 2 hours. We're going from 4 to 6 p.m., 749-1444, taking up the Curved Air Guys show. And again, larrysbottomline.com is the website, just the way it sounds, no apostrophes. And we're just talking, we're getting more into the second hour, too, about all this stuff that's going on. It's unfortunately, a drag of a week. And all of a sudden, you know, as things happen and you can't help but escape the obviously the footage is just amazing to keep watching, and it's almost done, especially the aerial footage when you look
down.
I think it was Biloxi, the opening of that Hard Rock Casino was supposed to be last night.
I know, and the funny part about that, Larry, what was left standing?
I don't know.
The building's there, but you know, everything's destroyed around it.
Our guitar?
The guitar was still standing.
Is there a pot reference coming? I don't know why.
No, just I just was amazed. Look, that guitar is still there. All this wind and water and the guitar stayed.
I think
it's that rock and roll will never die.
Or it's Keith Richards' guitar.
That's it.
That guy could withstand anything. I got news for you. Golly. Amazing. Those guys keep going and going.
Yeah.
And 749-1444 if you want to call in. Larry Arnett here. And Lynn, Happy Hemptress. And I will talk about this. And aren't you taking a pot brigade down there? I thought you were going to be getting into one of those yellow Ken Kesey type buses. And
I wish I had a way of doing that. You know,
bringing pot to the masses.
I personally believe it. I'm going to make a phone call. I was going to on the way here, and I forgot I had a different cell phone.
Don't you have like a franchise or somebody like
No, but I believe that the folks in Canada, they could step up with the hemp seed because hemp seed is the most nutritional food in the world. And if they got hemp seed down to these people, they would survive what's going on. So I am going to make a call to somebody that's involved in the hemp industry and see if anybody else has thought about this and try to get something rolling on that.
You're just going to call them. All right, we'll get on it right away, Lynn. Get some hemp seed down
there,
folks.
I hope so.
Well,
because that is one thing that can save these people.
Hemp seed,
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if pot's a good idea because
I agree with that. As I started to say, I called a friend of mine who lives not only in Colorado but also in Morgan City, Louisiana.
Yeah.
He's a disabled patient who is one of the medical patients.
He's not one of your buddies with glaucoma.
No. Actually, he is a medical patient. He, when he was about 25 years old, He was sitting in his van, sleeping, because he had had too much to drink. He pulled over off the side of the highway, and this is one reason why they don't want you to do this on the highway.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else drunk drove past him, and while he was driving past him, clipped him in the back end of his van. My friend Osh, he was then jarred backwards with his head and broke his neck. Okay.
Ouch.
He had to learn to walk again, and he has deterioration of his spine. He can only get around in a wheelchair and on crutches where he can move himself around in some places. So he is a medical patient. The marijuana does help him with his back pain and the issues of paralysis with him.
Needless to say,
he travels the country to all the different events and speaks and discusses the issue of medical. He made a remark today. I called him in Morgan City to see, because he was in Colorado on Sunday night. And he was headed back home, but he was waiting for the hurricane. He goes, I got to wait and see what happens. Well, fortunately, the hurricane turned northeast away from Morgan City, which is 85 miles west of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that happened in his area, or for his house specifically, is the satellite and the TV antenna fell off his roof. It was blown off.
As long as you don't lose your cable.
Yeah.
That's the God forbid.
Yeah, and you know, and he said, you know, we need to, right now, if they had some marijuana, they could smoke that and they wouldn't be doing
what they're
doing.
But then they get the
munchies. That's what I said, Larry. I said, you know what? I don't think it would be a good time to send them some pot. Because then they'd be hungry and get the munchies and wouldn't have any food.
Yeah,
we need to send them the hemp seed.
And then they start requesting, can't we get the peanut butter and jelly that's in the same jar? You know, hey, dude, there's a freaking flood. Quit being so picky. Keep some for somebody else. Then they'll overeat, of course. Listen, this is what I've heard, that people who get stoned tend to overeat. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's what I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not.
You just don't know that, do you?
I don't know. But, you know, so, and what are you going to do? We got to get M&M's to them. Now they're stoned, Sergeant. You got any extra M&M's?
Yeah, so then maybe if they had the hemp seed along with the joint, then they could chill and relax
and
see better days ahead of them, because marijuana helps you do that.
Let me tell you something right now.
But they need the hemp seed also.
Let me tell you something right now, and we're going to talk about some of these things in the 5 o'clock hour, because, you know, my audience won't really tune in till 5. But I guarantee you, and I know your heart goes out to all the drug people down there
who have lost their stash
by the flood.
Oh, my God. The crops. Plants.
Not only the crops, but there was probably guys diving after their pot stash. You know, the little baby was being swept away.
No.
I don't care about that kid, but my God, damn it, my pot. Where's it going? It's all.
You know, my question was, are there any activists down there? There used to be some groups down there that were
not
working.
Now.
But, well, even before this, my friend said that as far as he knows, there wasn't any groups in New Orleans. There was a Cannabis Action Network, but we're not sure if they were still active at all down there. Because we're trying to find out if there's people that we know.
Yeah, it's too bad, because I've never been to New Orleans.
I've been there. I lived there for 2 months when my son was a year and a half, and he's 28.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
like it. Dirty River Town.
Oh, it is?
It is now.
It's one of the poorest cities. It is now, but it was a poor city.
Very cool in the whole atmosphere and all that.
Kind of hip.
Yeah, very
obviously.
In that respect. But, it's just too hot, too muggy. You know,
hot.
When I saw the tape on the windows, year-round masking tape on the windows in case the hurricanes come, I'm like, I think I'll tough it out with a tornado. I'm going home.
Yeah, that's
you know,
too bad.
At least they bounce.
That's a thing, you know. I live in California for 9 years, and
I wouldn't want to live there either.
Well, there it's mainly earthquakes. I mean, fires, but or you could get nailed if you're in the right or wrong place. But generally speaking, a major earthquake's not going to happen.
I guess
it's less
they don't
likely.
Have hurricanes. Do they have hurricanes
no,
out there?
No, they don't.
So.
It's
they
weird.
Don't.
No.
Yeah. The Pacific doesn't do that.
No,
that's really strange.
I guess that's what they call it, Pacific. Doesn't that mean peace or something? 749-1444.
Pacifist.
Something like that. 749-1444, you're listening to an extended version of The Bottom Line. This is Larry Arnett, along with Lynn. The Happy Hemptress is here. We're doing a couple hours, and we're just all over the map and talking about all the lost dope and drugs that have been swept away. And God only knows, you know, that water. You just think it's just water, but it's not.
No, it's not. It's horrible.
Oil, toxic stuff.
The sewers have backed up. And not only the people that have died, but they don't even bury their dead underground.
Right, I know.
Mary. It's 6 feet above ground in cryptoriums.
Right.
They're floating around. Because
are they?
From what I hear, they are all, maybe not all of
it's
them.
It's like a horror movie.
That's exactly right. So what are these people going to do down there? They're trapped. They have no money. No food, no water. They're going to revert back to they're saying that they're Neanderthals because they're black. human is Neanderthal under those conditions?
Well, Bill Cunningham, your buddy, was kind of playing the race card today on the radio. That's what I was saying.
Well,
before.
I did hear him over and over again say to the
He knows the little buzzword.
In.
No, he knows the buzzwords to get the racists in his audience angry. And Bill's a master at it. I'm not saying Bill, I've met him. He's a nice guy. I'm not saying he's a racist. He's just a race baiter because he knows how to get his audience fired up.
Well,
I know it's behavior, it's not the color, but you know what? It's like read between the lines with what Billy's trying to say.
He was even
those
saying
those Negroes are at it again. That's what he's saying.
In some respect, he did say some things I didn't agree with, but he didn't blatantly say it's because of that. He specifically said it wasn't because of that, that it was economic, and also because if you give something to somebody, they don't care. That's still a way of saying the same thing, but it wasn't as bad as his callers. I have to give, you know, say that. You know, again, there isn't everything that I agree with, Willie. You know, he supports us on the drug issues. And some of the, and I hope to God that this is one of the times that he will see the big picture, that Bush is one of the reasons this is allowed to happen.
See,
he is, though. He's saying from the top down, it's Bush's fault, too. He said it over and over again.
Well, the hurricane isn't Bush's fault.
No, no, no. What the results of, because of diverting money and not taking care of things and getting prepared for
it. And
it
seems like a slack of a response. Yes. And this guy, and another bad thing about Bush is he can't speak.
Yeah.
He's uninspirational.
Yeah.
We need an inspirational person right now.
Yeah.
Somebody, a leader. You know, like Giuliani at least was good at it after 9/11. Bush is just
inept. That's one of the things Willie is saying is that, well, look, the mayor of Louisiana, she's crying. Well, she should be crying.
Oh.
You know, again, maybe Giuliani didn't cry, but, you know, it's a man-woman issue there. You know, women have more emotion, and they're going to release it like that. And thank God somebody is up in our government showing the emotion.
Did you see the footage of her crying? I mean,
no, I didn't actually
see
it.
I don't know if I want my leader of my city even breaking down. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, but you know
Somebody help me.
I also understand where that's coming from, because we all at this point in time feel helpless. And she's going to have to depend on federal aid right now.
And you know what would happen, God forbid, if there was like, you know, and again, we'll talk about this more in the next hour, and if you're seeing this a few weeks from now, of course we're doing two shows back to back, that's why we're doing this, it sounds like this, but and 749-1444 again, you're listening to an extended version of the Bottom Line. Larry'sBottomLine.com is the website. You know, and what, God forbid, what if something else happens now that it's unforeseen? I mean, if anybody, I'll tell you something, if anybody,
and that's Bush's fault,
right? I know that. I'm saying if there was ever a good time, as far as the terrorists are concerned, to strike, now would be it.
Where
our tension's diverted now on two fronts.
Yeah.
Actually, three if you count the war in Afghanistan that's obviously was never put out.
Right.
Now we're in Iraq. Now we got this major event going on. And the money is being spent left and right. Our resources are being tapped to the max.
Looted.
We're being looted.
Yes.
We're being looted by the oil companies.
Yes.
I mean,
oh, my God. $6 in Atlanta.
I know.
And they don't even get their gas from down in Louisiana. Even Willie said that.
And we were on our way to $3 a gallon gasoline.
Anyway.
We were coming there.
Yeah.
And now
so this is all, they're all scamming. They see an opportunity, and all these people in the oil industry, they are opportunistic.
I know.
And that's what's going on.
And is it just a coincidence? I mean, maybe, I don't know, but is it just a coincidence you get some oil people in power? And look what happens.
And look what happens.
I mean, is that just a freaking coincidence or what?
Not at all.
But
and that's some
like,
of the bigger issues
oil?
I want to talk about.
Okay, we'll get more into that in the 5 o'clock hour. You know, oil people and also, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to add something to that, what you guys were just saying about the tragedy down there and the administration's handling of it all.
Right.
My question is this. How many of Louisiana's National Guard reservists are missing? And how could they have been better employed?
Sure.
I just
In Iraq.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I would like to see the actual numbers, though. I mean, that's something that's got to be considered. Because, you know, Louisiana, they don't really got a lot going for them right now. I mean, let's say if it's in the neighborhood of 30 to 50%, that's huge.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, I've been talking about this for weeks, how real homeland security can't be procured because we're tapped out on our resources.
Right.
And now when we have a tragedy, thank God this isn't a terrorist attack, but it could be. And we're not prepared, really.
Yeah.
That's what's scary. I mean, this guy, we should have secured our country first. Gone after the guys that went after us, of course. That would have meant staying in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But now we're totally sidetracked.
Mm-hmm.
And now look what happens when a real tragedy, something we weren't prepared for, happens, and our attention's diverted, and our resources are being swallowed up, like you just mentioned before.
Yeah, it's a question of human resources.
I know. And you know, at least now, through God's awful grace, sometimes, people will realize just how screwed up this leadership of this country is. It's a rude and horrific awakening.
Yes. And unfortunately, the innocent people in Louisiana and Biloxi have had to pay for it.
Exactly. They're the real victims, yeah. and victimized again.
The idiot religious people, oh, it's the wrath of God because it's the sin city. Well, the poor people aren't the ones doing all the sins. It's the rich people going there.
Well, yeah, but if you look on the news, that's not the people you're seeing on TV.
No, that's just calling
people
on the radio
who probably didn't vote for Bush in the first place.
Well, I don't know, and maybe he's taking his time getting the troops down there because you're right. These aren't his.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily fair. I mean, New Orleans is a big port into the United States.
And you know what? I'll tell you something else. I want to talk about this in the second hour as well. I mean, I hate to say it, but like on CNN and some of the other broadcasts, it's like, you know, CNN and all these other news networks go around the world via satellite. These guys are giving a point by point description of just how vital the Gulf port is.
If it was, they would have had it fixed.
You know what else I found weird? I found weird is yesterday I was watching all this flood coverage, right?
Yeah.
And I open up the newspaper today. We get a free Wall Street Journal at work, so I read it. And I find out about a stampede in Baghdad that killed 800 people.
The bridge fell.
Bridge fell?
It was not a stampede.
That's what
it
I
was
heard.
Religious people doing the yearly religious march on behalf of their leader who had died in some...
But wait.
And then while they were all on the bridge, the bridge started collapsing.
But I thought it was also that there was word or rumor of a suicide attack.
That's true.
Somebody said there might be a suicide bomb and some of them started running.
Right.
But it was also what ultimately happened, though, was that the bridge...
You know, it's just a calamity of humanity all within a few days.
You know, it's like screaming fire in a theater.
Yeah, it's just weird.
That's what happened. So it wasn't just a random stampede.
Okay.
You know, they were scared.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you live under the element of bombs going off around you all day long with suicide bombers, what would you do if you were on a bridge and there was thousands of people walking and suddenly somebody screamed, fire! You know, you're going to run too! And I think that is what eventually... collapsed the bridge.
Yeah, but it's weird. It's kind of sad that one tragedy occurred so close to the other because the other is probably hardly going to get recognized at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a lot of...
At least in our country, you know.
It's a lot of horrific news in one week, and it's too bad. And I think, you know, you're going to have a general unease in the United States about where we're at. And, you know, it's not it's not Bush's fault that there's a hurricane. It's just the aftermath. It's the allocation of our resources. And now it's being brought to the forefront of just where we are and where we're not at because of what's going on in Iraq and elsewhere. And it's a failure of leadership. And no, it's not his fault about the hurricane. But, you know, the aftermath could have been done a lot better.
Yeah.
Well, we still got a long ways to go on that.
Yes, we do. And I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. 749. How'd this man get into office anyway, for God's sakes?
Somebody on the Buzz earlier, they played Bush's statement from earlier, I guess, today.
Evildoers.
And somebody called in afterward and said he sensed a bit of fear in Bush's voice. And I did, too.
You did?
Yeah. And then they went on to say that, all he kept talking about was don't buy gas unless you have to. The gas prices. It's gas, the gas, the gas. You know, he's full of hot gas as far as I'm concerned. And he should have fear in his voice.
And I think that, you know, people, by the way, you're listening to an extended version of The Bottom Line. This is Larry Annette along with the happy hemptress, Lynn.
Jason's over here,
just walked in. And what?
The pissed off hemptress.
The pissed off hemptress. Mad again. Mad again. 749-1444 if you want to call in. We're going to have to end things at 5 and then start over again because we taped this show. And it's seen every...
Kind of a stoner thing, isn't it?
Yeah, right, man. It's seen every Sunday, Time Warner Channel 24, and every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Channel 4. So if you want to watch that, check out the website, larrysbottomline.com. If you want to call in, 749-1444, give us your opinion on the right, the wrong, the left, the ugliness, the horrific devaluation. I mean, you know, the bad thing is, you know, these pictures will be... It's like the old days when there were the civil rights... problems down in the South, and the dogs were attacking a lot of the blacks and all that. And, you know, Russia had a field day with that footage.
Yeah.
And they just showed it like, look how bad America is. They can't, you know, they're attacking their own people, and they're going to show the pictures around the world, especially the Arab countries now, and some of the other people that don't like us. And they'll be showing, you know, people who can't get help, and they're on their roofs, and, you know, there's all this flood going on. And I'd be interested to know, like the last caller brought up about just how many guard have to come in from surrounding states. They probably would anyway. This is a massive crisis on a...
Larry, it's Jason here. I just want to interject that they had to call a guard up as far as Pennsylvania.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. They were
And they were limited, too, because of the Iraq War.
Right. 1,500 troops only because of the Iraqi War. That's all they could get.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, that's got to be promoted and, you know, and established. And, you
thousands
know.
Of people, and they sent in 1,500.
Yeah. You can get that over there. Just don't get in the line of, okay. Well, it's... All right. So anyway, you won't see my Abdul the Terrorist Monkey.
Oh.
All right. Whatever. That's cool. Don't break it. Whatever you do.
Yeah, really. Wave can't afford another microphone.
Better. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Larry. Hi. This is Joe Gorman. How you doing?
Joe, what's going on, man?
Man, this whole the zeitgeist with Bush is just blowing my mind.
Well, you know, now people are going to see just the kind of leadership they bought into.
The whole karma of the country has changed so dramatically since he became president.
It's called karma.
And the second time that people put him in there, you think, for God's sakes, can't you see this guy is an absolute horrible piece for America?
Everybody has to learn in America everything the hard way.
Well, it's a con artist.
It's my mantra. And you know, look, it took how many years in Vietnam before we realized, okay, it's not working. And you know, I don't know if you agree with me. Did you think that those men died in vain in Vietnam?
Yes.
We didn't learn anything there.
And they're dying in vain in Iraq, too.
Well, that's true. And I tell you what, it seemed like every time Bush gets close to being looked at critically by the press or anyone else, there's always some disaster that happens. I mean, I know he didn't cause the hurricane,
right.
but as far as 9/11 is concerned, Karl Rove, Cindy Sheehan, somehow this guy always, you know, the news gets so incredibly horrible. All the crap in Iraq or Afghanistan, all the soldiers dying from Ohio a couple of weeks ago, it seemed like all these things happen. They're all bad, horrible things, and it always kind of like gets back and deflects it off of Bush. But I think this time, with Cindy Sheehan and what she did down in Texas, I think people actually are saying maybe this guy is a moron,
right?
And he's going to be horrible for our country for years and years to come.
I too thought, you know, initially when I first saw her down there, I didn't think much of it. I just figured this woman's grieving. This is the way it's coming out. And then I saw
And then I saw
somebody getting an autograph from her, and I thought, oh no, you know, she's not really. You know. So anyway, but then you know, as I thought about it, this guy's sitting on his butt, and he's taking more vacation days than I think Eisenhower.
Yeah, they had to call him from his July vacation. He had to cut it short 2 days
from
the July vacation. What's he get a vacation every damn month or what?
He takes August off. He's already had over 320 vacation days.
Yeah, and of course, you know, our friend from Michigan that had the movie about all this stuff. Michael Moore, thank you. He pointed out in that movie how many vacation days this man takes, and everybody went, oh, he's a liar.
Oh, you mean, no, he's not a liar. He's a liberal.
He's a liberal.
Liberal.
Hey, but, you know, Cindy
the
Sheehan,
liberals.
A couple months ago, my friend Paul and I put together an updated version of the Country Joe McDonald song.
It's called
Blood
awesome.
For Oil Rag.
Right. Okay.
And anyway, we sent a copy down to Cindy Sheehan, and it just came back from Crawford, Texas. But anyway, we have a new song coming out on the flip side called More Dead in Ohio. And our thinking is this. Since all the National Guard guys are either in Iraq or now down in Louisiana, hell, if we have a great anti-war rally, no one's going to get shot up here. They're all too busy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
They're all gone. Hey, our whole National Guard guys are all gone.
Hey, listen, I'd like to get copies of that. I'm getting ready to, and I'll, that's my intro here, my segue. I'm getting ready to do some Hemp Rock radio shows here at WAIF. I was on the air from 92 to the end of 1999.
Oh, yeah,
and
I remember that.
There is a spot that's open midnights Tuesdays that there are some programs that have applied for it, including myself. I hope to end up with it. We're doing rotating shows until they decide in October who gets the spot. My first show in that rotation is this coming Tuesday at midnight, from midnight to 2 a.m. And I would love to get copies of those songs, and I would play them on my show.
Well, do I just send them down to you or what? How can I get them to you?
You can give me a call at 513-684-HEMP, or you can send me an email through my website at hemprock.com.
Hemprock.com.
You got it.
Hey, Larry, great show. Always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You're fair and balanced. Even though you might be a liberal,
I'm a pragmatist.
He's more of a libertarian.
I'm pragmatist.
All right, man, be cool.
All right, you too. Thank you. 749-1444. We got about 5 minutes left, then we're going to start over again.
Boy, that went fast.
I'll tell you, I told this Bush, you're doing the wrong thing. I can't say anything now. We're in there. We got to do it. We got to, you know. I saw, Clinton, he won't get down on Bush too much. He's like buddies. I think Bush kind of did this on purpose. They became, buddies with him and Laura. Now, Mom Bush, the old lady, likes him.
He's okay.
And, they figured, you better get this guy on our side.
We'll just forget what happened in the Oval Office.
Better, I think old Pop Bush probably thought it out. Son, better get Bill Clinton on our side. He's a good speaker, got a lot of charisma. And you get him on our side, he won't get down on you. If things go bad, I had 90% rating, and next thing I lost to him. I'm telling you, it's too bad. It's just too bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to see bad things happen, but God if this would have happened in the first term, we would have had a chance to turn things around. And the bottom line is, we need divided government. I'm not some frothy mouth Democrat. I don't want to see all Democrats in power.
Me either.
I just think divided government is what we need. You need checks and balances, and that's the best one. Go ahead. You're on the air. Your radio's up. You're on the air.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your radio's up.
Wow, I feel sound like you're ripping.
Okay, sorry about that.
People of Earth. Okay.
I'm just cruising here.
Okay.
Listening to you guys. No, I just wanted to say I think that the situation is, the president, he's rich, and there's just a lot of disconnection between, his position and the poor. And I really believe that, because of that.
Let them eat cake.
Well, it comes across in his attitude.
Yes.
They deserve this.
They don't have any bread. Just let them eat cake down there.
His father was nailed for the similar thing. And remember when he, on the debate, he looked at his watch. And also when he went, they took him on a tour of a supermarket, and he didn't understand the checkout counter because he was so removed from mundane little tasks like going to a supermarket.
Groceries.
It's this sort of, I don't get where you live thing. But, John F. Kennedy was in the same way, came from big money.
Right.
But you didn't see that in him.
That's
he was
exactly
a natural
right.
kind of a guy.
Yeah. Because they're not disconnected.
Just
speaking of the Kennedys, they were somebody, I think it was on, of course, the other station, was slamming the different people that are saying things. And they slammed Robert Kennedy Jr. Oh, he blames it on global warming. Well, there's some truth to that because there is a reason why our planet is doing what it's doing with all of these hurricanes and all of the disasters that are happening.
Well, you can't just prove that off the top.
Well, but the scientists have been...
I believe in global warming, and that's another thing that Republicans and the right wing don't like.
Right, but the scientists have been warning our world for years now that the disasters are going to get worse as global warming continues, as the oceans continue to get warm. It's going to create havoc.
Right.
And there is a way to prevent that, and that's grow hemp.
Okay, I knew there was a pod connection. All right, man,
you
we're going to get going.
Is.
Keep in touch.
Thanks a lot.
Got another hour. Keep in touch. Bye. We're going to have to – I'm going to turn this thing off because we got another hour to go. So you're listening, stay tuned. We got another hour. We're going to take a few-minute break and switch this camera tape and so stay tuned. We got more of The Bottom Line coming up from 5 to 6. And LarrysBottomLine.com. We'll be back with the Happy Hempstress. And Jason's came in, and we'll be back in a few. Just stay tuned.
Singing by your window pane, and the sun shines bright all day through. Don't forget, boy, look over your shoulder, cause there's always someone coming after you. Just around the door. Don't forget, boy, look over your shoulder, cause things don't stay the same forevermore. Hope springs eternal in a young man's breast, and he dreams of a better life ahead. Nothing. You have to find out for yourself that dream is there.
Okay, we're back. We're going to go. Whoa, we got to start this over now because now, where the hell am I? Now, you know what? We're going to stay tuned for the bottom line. We're going to start this all over now. Coming up right now, right here on, let's see, where am I? WAIF Cincinnati. This is another hour of the bottom line coming up right now, right here.
To the bottom line with Larry Arnett. Larry will take your phone calls at 749-1444. And now, here's Larry.
Okay, welcome back to another edition of The Bottom Line. This is Larry Arnett, our second hour here. It's just because we're doing that, and Happy Hempters is here. Jason's over there. He's
pleasure to be here, Larry.
Can give us an update on the latest.
Thank you for watching out for us, sir. We're too stupid. We need George Bush to help us.
Let's get on with the program. We got another hour to do here, and we were already on from 4 to whatever, 5. Now we're on 5 to 6, our regular time. So, WAIFFM is a community radio station serves only open its airwaves for responsible whatever divergent points of view. Opinions expressed during the program do not reflect the views of Wave, staff, and supported trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my views, Jason's views, Lynn's views, whoever may call in. The following program contains material that may be considered less offensive or unsuitable. Some listeners, if you are sensitive, tune in to 6 o'clock for Kitty's Blues. You're too sensitive. Asking Save Kids is a non-political organization dedicated to ending the gun violence epidemic. Organization advises parents to include the question with other things normally discussed before sending your child to someone's what? To house seat belts, animals, allergies, and so on. www.askingsaveskids.com. Whatever the heck that means. If you want your kids to graduate, you got to get involved and encourage them. Don't drop out on your kids. For a brief brochure, a free brochure with tips on how to keep your kids in school, call 877-48-KID, sponsored by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council. Friday evening is devoted to music, poetry, news, the Lord's Word, and Islamic perspectives. Uh-oh. Evildoers. All here on Friday. Tune in to the show at 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. right here on WAIF, and, you know, they'll help you out. Whatever. You're listening to Bottom Line. Now we're on, and let's see what's going on. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, on the air. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what'd you want?
Hey, listen, I was just going to give you guys a topic. Something, you know, it seems so obvious, but, you know, nobody has even brought this up, and I'm thinking it might be why Mr. Bush looks kind of scared. I read a report that gave a figure that said that every day the United States militaries combined, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, that they burn more petroleum, that they burn more fuel than every car in America burns in a year. And, it, you know, that may be a bit exaggerated in the report that I read, but if you think about it, sounds about right.
Well, sure, if you're going to have a war, you got to have war cars and tanks, and then you got to have oil to put them in. So let's just have an oil war.
I mean,
makes
so
perfect
if they,
sense.
Yeah, if they would just back out of that a little bit, I think we'd have a little bit less, you know, trouble, strife going on over here about that.
About what now?
About the fuel.
Well, I personally think they should dump the oil, which is destroying the environment, which is causing the global warming, which is causing these hurricanes. It's scientific fact.
I know, but you know what?
This is something I've been, that not just me, but the hemp movement for 20 years, Larry, has been telling this country and this world to stop what we're doing. We are destroying the environment, and we have an alternative source. 6% acreage of this country that would grow hemp would be enough oil to run every car and lighting company burns on oil.
I wish they'd do it. I would just love the exhaust.
Well,
I got
here's the issue about that exhaust.
I absolutely agree.
I have to say this. The exhaust, exhaust from hemp fuel, Larry, is not an environmental damage the way
you're
oil
not kidding.
Is. Okay?
I can honestly imagine. Can you imagine a traffic jam with pot exhaust?
Well, you know, that's funny, but we're talking about a serious situation here, Larry.
I know. Serious.
This is a very serious situation. We've got thousands dead because of a hurricane that did not have to happen if we were growing hemp and not destroying this planet to get the oil.
The oil
is like the blood of this planet. It helps cool the planet, and that's what the global warming is about. That's one of the main culprits of our environmental damage. Yes.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I live on a farm here in Kentucky, and you know, back in Civil War times, it was actually required to grow a certain amount.
Absolutely. You had to grow hemp if you had a certain amount of acreage.
Those forefathers knew what the hell they were
doing.
You're
damn right they did. George Washington and Jefferson, they all grew it and smoked it and ate it burned it in their lamps and put it on their salads.
That's weird.
Yeah, if
you saw the decorating at Monticello,
what would happen if a tanker of hemp fuel dumped hemp fuel or hemp oil into the ocean?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Okay. You dump crude oil in, we know what happens. You got to send Dawn in to clean it up. Okay?
Yeah, right. And she's a lot of fun. I got news for you.
Yeah. The point here is 6% of the land in this country, and you say you live on a farm, you know as well as I do, you can grow hemp, and when you're growing it, not only does it replenish the soil with the nutrients and the minerals that you need to grow food, which the pesticides don't do, they destroy the soil and the environment. But you could also fuel every car in this nation with only 6% of the land. When you grow hemp, it heals the environment and the ozone around this planet at the same time.
Absolutely. So the fibers can replace polyester.
It replaces the polyester, the nylons, the plastics, everything that is destroying our environment.
I know. I agree with you
Kennedy
guys.
Kennedy is right. Global warming is the cause, and the reason why there's the disaster that there is after the mouth of the hurricane is because of the Bush administration. And people that are stealing and looting the money from this country.
I told Bobby that we need to get...
And they're the oil people, and that's why hemp isn't being grown.
We need to get some of that hemp in the Oval Office and get Marilyn in here. We're going to have a party.
Absolutely.
As soon as I get back from Dallas, we're going to see to it that that happens.
We know. We had this guy calling earlier.
All right.
I have to...
Okay, man. Keep in touch.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I want to also
JFK
bring something
did it.
Up.
I can do it, too.
You know, the caller before called in about... changing the Country Joe McDonald song from Woodstock. Well, here's a story coming out of Woodstock, New York. This is how distorted the priorities are.
Wait, we got another call. Let's hold on for that. I want to get to that story. This is interesting. We want to get to this the updated news. We don't have enough hemp news in the press, do we? Go ahead, you're on the air.
No, we don't.
Yeah, hello,
that's
Larry.
Why we're
hey, what's
in the
going
shape
on?
We're in.
Yeah, I was going to say yesterday when I saw that press conference with Bush and Rumsfeld and all those other Condoleezza Rice and this whole cabinet standing behind them, and they were explaining, you know, reasons for what's going on down there, what happened. You remember the Johnstown flood many, many years ago that killed people in Johnstown,
Pennsylvania? Yeah, I saw a documentary on that.
Yeah, that was like a huge levee type of area, like that was adjacent to the town, and it ended up flooding the town and killing a couple thousand or more people, and it was a result of these rich people that had estates up there, and they weren't taking care of the lake up there that was building up, you know, all the huge water supply, and it ended up breaking.
Sure.
And it was confirmed that these wealthy industrialists who had these estates up there were responsible for the flood.
Of course.
But seeing Bush and these people stand there and trying to get off the hook like your guest there, the lady, a lot of this can really be laid back. I don't know if you guys discussed in the first hour. I missed the first hour, but a lot of this disaster can be laid back to the fact of the environmental degradation of the marshes there around the, you know, New Orleans and the whole bayou area that's been destroyed, and those islands and so on. the wetlands that were like the...
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And like, hemp could fix that, too.
Yeah, and you, like you're saying, the Bush administration, I heard this morning that in 2003, they, in conjunction with the Republican right-wing lunatics up there in Congress, they cut off funding for this little levee repair and so on, and the money went to Iraq, of course.
Wait, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The financing for the levee repair and so on. I'm not saying that would stop the whole disaster. I don't know.
Right.
But they definitely,
it's a domino effect.
And right. And just like everything else, just wait till some stuff from time to subside, and you'll start hearing things like you just mentioned. Probably will come out.
But the thing is, I swear, a year and a half ago, I saw a special on National Geographic, and they talked about the potentiality of this happening to New Orleans, totally being destroyed by this disaster.
Anybody with any brains can see it.
In the special, they definitely emphasized the destruction by these developers of the marsh area, the wetlands. And I heard a figure this morning, Larry. This sounds ridiculous. I know when you give these figures to like these right-wing talk show hosts, they say it's not possible. This guy who wrote a book on the destruction of the bayou, it came out a year ago, he said that every 1 acre of the wetlands in that particular area of Louisiana is destroyed every 24 minutes.
Exactly.
That is staggering.
And no wonder this disaster is happening, because those wetlands are like a filter. When a disaster like this happens, like when the Mississippi overflows, you have a disaster like this hurricane, it probably would have filtered out a lot of this water in this tidal rush.
Right.
And you know yourself that anytime there's a battle between developers raping the environment, making
the developers
a profit,
win.
And environmentalists, you know who Bush and Cheney are going to support, don't you?
That's right. The developers who are raping
sure.
and looting our world.
But I've been saying all along, Brian, that it takes a long time for the people to wake up and realize they're getting scammed and duped by people in
and
power.
And the world is being destroyed.
I know. And meanwhile, and after two terms of these guys, and I'm not just talking about the Bush administration, I'm talking about the right wingers in power,
yes.
total power.
Yes.
For God's sakes, we're going to be raped, pillaged, reamed, and broke.
And flooded over.
And no kidding. And you know what? Then the morons who helped get us into this mess by electing these morons.
They're just black and they're looting because they're black.
Well, but they're just going to realize what the hell? Who do we put in power? It's
but
like Tammy Faye. What?
This morning on Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer was. I really like Jerry Springer, but he was trying to take the high moral ground. And last night, another show I like to listen to, Lionel, who I think is very intelligent. I believe he's a former big time
Lionel.
Lawyer. Both of these guys were trying to take the high moral ground. They weren't picking on Bush at all. They were talking about the disaster. That's fine. How to help the people, that's fine. But on the right-wing shows, Larry, they were emphasizing the looting.
Right.
And what they're trying to do is appeal to this lower
right.
mentality of these people that re-elect these guys over and over.
Right,
exactly.
And what Springer and Lionel should understand is that these right-wingers, they're always going for the jugular.
Right.
And if Springer and Lionel want to go for the high moral ground, they're going to lose the next election to this Cheney guy who's thinking of running. And God help us if that guy gets in there.
He's already in there.
Let Cheney get in there.
He's already running
Cheney's
the country.
Cheney's already running everything.
Yeah, right.
Bush is the puppet.
It would just be a third term.
Right.
That's all.
Fourth,
and,
wasn't
and,
he?
And
wasn't
the country,
there with his, with
the country,
Bush?
He's been there with Ford. He's been there with. He's been this guy. And you wonder why America's in such crap shape.
And he's Halliburton, and they're the oil industry, and
God.
We wonder
why
this is happening.
I never thought we'd be reliving the late 60s with Johnson, Nixon, the war, and civil unrest and unease in the government.
You know, Larry, when Bush took office, actually before, whether I was on radio or in my own living room with friends, I said over and over again, he is going to destroy us if we put him in office. He is going to destroy not only this nation, but this world. And you know what? I hate being right.
Yeah, you're right.
I hate being right.
I think that the Republican right wing of the party up there, I believe, Larry, they have become so powerful, they have so many corporate interests, that they not only, I believe they're capable of stealing every election for years to come.
They have
I don't
been.
Believe they're capable of winning it. But I don't think it matters how we vote,
right.
actually. I'm going to keep voting. But I think that they actually have such control and there's
right.
such money interests of these corporations that Bush is going to give them that I think they're capable of stealing these elections
I'm not a big conspiracy freak. I believe in certain conspiracies, but these guys do not and will not give up power very easily.
That's right.
All right, Brian, I agree with you.
It's not about conspiracy, Larry. It's about
corporate
greed.
Okay, man. Take care, Brian. Bye.
It's corporate greed. They don't care. It's not even about, well, we're going to do this so we can do that. It's like, right now, well, actually it is. I do believe that they look 20, 30, 40 years ahead because that's why there's the daddy Bush and then the baby Bush and all the other Bushes and this Bush and that Bush.
Well, you know what? At least.
I'm not a crook.
At least he's going to have to worry about his legacy.
He doesn't care about his legacy.
Oh, I don't know They've about that.
They've got the money to go wherever in this world they want to.
I know that.
And feed their children. They don't care about the impoverished people. They're impoverished.
These presidents care about their legacy.
I don't believe Bush cares about anybody but himself and his cohorts and his family.
Don't be too sure about that. He's got a legacy, and history will remember George Bush. And if he goes out, and I got news for you, it's looking pretty good that he's going to go out a loser. And you know what? At least we'll have that. At least we'll show the rest of the world and the rest of the idiots that voted for this guy. This guy helped destroy America. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Larry.
Ray, what's going on, man? We're having a almost like a funeral-like dirge here.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
Talking about pop the mess.
Hey, I can't hear you on the internet. The web streaming's down, so I'm not up to speed on your conversation here.
Well, it's just obviously you're talking about what damage Bush has done. No, the hurricane wasn't his fault, but the aftermath, his lackluster, you know, inability
see,
to...
See, I think the hurricane is
Lynn,
the
Happy Huntress is with us.
Because they are the people that are destroying the environment, and that's what's creating the hurricanes.
Yeah, I can only hear one of you at a time, so please don't both talk at the same time.
Okay, well, we'll just redesign the whole show for you. How about that?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But, you know,
get that joint down, Ray.
Bring a bell, but you know when you start to talk. No.
All right, yeah, I got one here for you somewhere.
This hurricane was here to punish Pat Robertson.
It should have. I wish it would have got him.
God is on the side of Venezuela.
Where is was he out of New Orleans? I forget where he's out of.
Virginia Beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who, Pat Robertson?
Yeah. I went on a tour of his facility.
And he's always
once.
Got that smile in his voice when he talks.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if we got assassination and we could use it, I mean, you know, we could take this fella out. All we got to do is, you know.
Hey, we couldn't even get rid of Castro, you idiot.
Yeah, don't you want some of the clear coat spray on your new car?
Who was down there visiting him recently? Wasn't Jesse Jackson hugging Chavez?
Well,
we could use some of that oil, you know.
Well, the problem that we're having with Venezuela is based on a comment that Bush made years ago when Chavez was first elected. He made some offhand remark that somebody ought to get together and run him out of office. So what happened was his opponents tried to overthrow the government. He went into hiding for about 5 days and just waited for everybody to pop out from under the rock, and then came back with the army and arrested all his opposition.
Well, as bad as it is, and, you know, like we were just saying earlier, we had another hour, and we were talking about, you know, it's bad enough with Iraq. Things are getting worse there, of course. We're not, you know, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. And now you have a natural disaster like this, and now America feels like they're very uneasy about things.
Well,
the gas prices, now for the first time. And $3 was coming anyway. This just happened.
It was already $3.09 before the hurricane.
It was getting there.
Yeah.
And now, and of course, you know, of course, it's just a weird coincidence that we got a bunch of oil dudes in office and we're paying higher prices than we've ever had.
Coincidence? Yeah, I believe in conspiracy before I believe in coincidence, Larry.
Okay. but anyway, and as bad as it is here, I'll never forget one of the last things I voted for or against when I lived in Los Angeles. I voted against a gas tax they were trying to nail us with because I figured, you know what? They're just going to do this again and again and again.
Over and over. And it was an inch, they take a mile.
I think we already have the highest taxes in the nation out here.
How much for a gallon out there?
It's like $2.90.
Oh, come on, man. You got to be paying more than that.
Where's he at?
He's in California.
Well,
I didn't know Ray moved to California.
I paid less than $2.90 the last time I bought it, but I know yesterday I saw $2.90. Now, you know, you can go to the gas station where you're kind of SOL if you need gas, and you can pay over $3 there, but I expect to see over $3 a gallon within a few days.
Oh, you're going to get it within a few hours. I got news for you, Dad.
What part of California?
Pardon me?
What part of California are you in?
Northern California, near San Francisco.
Okay.
Ray just got off on the wrong exit and hasn't been able to leave, but that's another story. You know, the first time I ever paid over $3 in gasoline, I was in a place in the middle of California during the 2001, 9/11. And we were heading out of there and going to through Big Sur. For people who don't know where that is.
Oh, yeah.
There was one gas station before you get into the cliffs. And that guy that day charged $3-something a gallon because...
Yeah. He was the only one.
Yeah, and he gouged. I hope that guy got nailed. I remember that gas station where it is. It's the only one on that road right before you hit the mountains. And You know, I hope they nail these guys for gouging when a crisis hits. I really do.
There was a guy that called into Buzz earlier, said that he's hoping for an investigation on all the gas stations around here.
No, they'll never. Nobody ever gets nailed.
I know. It's crazy.
Well, what's gas back there?
Well, I hear up in the Coleraine area on Coleraine Avenue is anywhere from 309 to 339 today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, where you and been?
California.
Well, I don't know. You know, we're not affected by the New Orleans gas.
Well, either are we, but they're gouging us.
Sure.
Well, no, you probably are.
They say that it's not that we're not affected by it, but they're
you
raising
aren't.
It anyway.
Now shrimp's going up too. Now they got something happened with the shrimp catch. That's screwed.
Might as well kiss that goodbye.
Well, on a different issue, since you say you're close to San Francisco in that area, have you gone and seen any of the buyers clubs?
Oh yeah, I'm a card carrying member.
Awesome.
And of course Ray, as soon as he hit the street limits of San Francisco, honey, I think I'm getting glaucoma.
Oh,
I don't know what happened. I can't see. Where are you?
Yeah,
I'm right over here, Ray, in the passenger seat. You
Lynn, imagine. Glazed donuts.
Listen to
okay.
her. Hey, Ray, by the way,
I
why don't you just
to eat
briefly, because we've got
to
get going here. Are you seriously? You're telling me now you can just sign? I thought they outlawed those things.
No. It's medical. You have to show medical reason.
Okay, Ray, how did you get?
I have one right in my purse. I'm also a medical card-carrying member of California Medical Patient.
Because
I have a dual residency in California.
You do?
I got a lot of delicate conditions, Larry.
I bet you do. Where are you, Doc? I can't see you. All right, get the crap. I'll give you the prescription.
It costs you about $200.
$200?
Yeah, anywhere from $150
and to $200.
And
that's just for the right to get the pot,
no,
right?
No, that's your doctor's fee, your examination.
Exactly.
And the paperwork.
How do you get the weed, man?
It's up and up. I mean, it is
up and up.
It's no fly-by-minute stuff.
Not at all. Not at all. This is legitimate.
If I was 21 years old, I doubt if I'd have one.
So you got to go in there and like, hey, you know, Doc, I swear I can't see, man.
It's perfect for broken down old hippies.
That's what San Francisco is like the retirement village for the old hippie types.
Oh, it
absolutely
is. It absolutely is.
I guess it's like a homecoming for you, huh, Ray?
Oh yeah. Well, you see, I live in a place where it's a little bit better heeled shoes, but I do go over to San Francisco occasionally. It's incredibly crowded over there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like New York City.
It's a neat town, man. I've been there a number of times. I love it there. It's just such a cool, progressive
people think clearly.
Yeah,
it's all that good pot they're smoking.
Well, and it's a cool town the way it's set up. It's a beautiful city. And the people, in California in general, not everybody, but there's just a lot of hip types.
Some of those hills scare me though, driving
down. Instead of living with these dumbass blue, hillbilly types that are, and these right wingers voting for Bush.
It's so progressive in California.
He's our greatest president. Thank you for watching out for us, Mr. Bush.
We're too stupid. There's you always find some frustrations, no matter where you live, and there are ones out here. But some of the positive things of the clubs are that law enforcement doesn't have to deal with it anymore, and it really has freed up their resources a lot. If you wanted to buy crank here, you probably couldn't. You would have to go down to the grittiest ghetto.
What are you trying to say?
Well. Hard drugs are a big problem here.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I
want to mention something about, because you're saying about San Francisco being hippies and stuff. This is just an example of the misappropriation of funds, the misappropriation of people's man hours, and I just have to say this. The guy I started to say earlier before we started the next hour, the guy that called in the last hour, he's written a couple songs that are taken from the Country Joe and the Fish songs from Woodstock.
Uh-huh.
The other day, matter of fact, it was the 30th, so a couple of days ago, Art Garfunkel was arrested once again in Woodstock, New York.
Oh, he was? I was wondering where he was.
Well, yeah, he's up in the Woodstock, New York area, right where Woodstock took place.
Okay.
He lives up there. Now, last year he got busted. His limo got pulled over for speeding.
Well, that's so rough.
Now, and they smelled pot and searched him, and he got busted. Possession. Yeah. He paid a $200 fine and went on.
Okay.
Yeah.
They pulled him over again. Now, this time I don't think it was in his limo. He was just driving by himself. They pulled him over for a traffic violation. The story doesn't say exactly what he was pulled over for. Cops smelled pot. They made him search because it reeked of pot. And they found a joint in his ashtray. And they cited him again. Now, this is, you know, Art Garfunkel, folks. They're harassing Art Garfunkel from the 60s. We know these people smoke. We know they're not hurting anybody. Okay. Yeah. He's obviously not poor. He can afford his marijuana. He's driving around in a limo last year. Okay. Why yeah. are they wasting time pulling anybody over, much less Art Garfunkel, well, who wants to just smoke a joint?
It's a gateway drug.
Oh, of course, yeah. The gateway to the bridge over troubled waters. That's,
there you go. All right, Ray, we got to get going, dude.
Oh, hey, Larry, answer me a question.
Real quick.
What did Bob Huggins do?
He got fired, but he got let go, and they came to a mutual agreement. He got $3 million for walking out, taking $3 million. And,
I don't think he really did anything.
There's a new president.
He didn't like yeah. The new president's this uppity little blonde with real red lipstick, and I don't know. She's she wants to make UC into a more scholarly, academic kind of university, and he wasn't fitting the mold with his drunken escapades.
Well, yeah, that's why I was wondering if he had another one of those.
Well,
but no, he didn't. But you know, there were this guy and that guy, and you know, I was feeling like I think we should be ready to vote Hugs in as mayor. I mean, who better to deal with criminal element that we have a problem than Hugs? I mean, all his basketball players were in jail.
He put this, you know Bearcats basketball on the map.
Yeah.
I know he did, and I think she's making a mistake. And when they start losing, guess what? They're going to run up to her house with torches like an old Frankenstein movie.
Well, you know, the one thing I didn't like.
Telling you.
I'm not a basketball fan by any stretch. I really don't care.
I don't either,
about
but I miss Hugs already.
But, you know, the way she did it was she got his stuff out of his office and dumped it on his front porch. She didn't even let him clean his own office out.
Very bad PR, Ray.
Yeah.
You missed a real big thing here.
Yeah, well, I was hearing rumors of it and, you know, in conversations that were the real third hand, but I figured, well, he got caught with a live girl or a dead boy or had another DUI or something, you know.
The Hugs era.
Zorak's a woman, aren't you?
Hugs era is over.
Oh.
That's the bottom line, dude.
Rest,
I hate to say
rest
it.
Rest in peace. Hey, you two have a great time. It's good hearing from you again, Lynn.
Yeah, good hearing from you, Ray.
Oh, you ought to come out here and smoke some of these lazy donuts.
Well, I did that last December and January. I was there for 5 weeks, established another residency out there. Matter of fact, with Jack Harry's up in Upper Lake, California. When I go there, that's where I go. And I haven't made it back yet, but I have full intention of making it back there, probably in November for a DPA conference in Long Beach. So while I'm there, I'll probably have to get my medical again because you have to reapply every year.
Every year.
Have fun and keep in touch, dude.
All right, man.
Absolutely, Ray.
Okay. Bye. Take care.
Marijuana.
Well, I guess he didn't like you after all. He just smelled your narcotics. Buck him, bye.
Hold on, Chief. It might be medicinal.
Oh, yeah, medicinal.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Larry, how you doing, man?
What's going on, man?
Not much. This is Aaron. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Aaron, what's up, dude?
Aaron.
Aaron's going to come on the show at some point. He's one of these right-wingers who, you know, yes, even though the reality of the Bush years is starting to cave in on us like a bad mining accident.
Like a flood?
I'm telling you.
They're rocking us like a hurricane, huh?
I'm telling you, and the ratings are just come tumbling down. He's got the worst ratings of any second-term president in modern times. And not only that, but a ray of possible good hope, and that is the ratings for Limbaugh and Hannity are going down big time in big cities, including Chicago.
Maybe you'll get picked up.
Huh?
Limbaugh's got my ratings, I'll tell you that. He's also soaring above all the liberal talk radio, Air America.
Talk radio.
And the other... markets, so yeah, he's doing pretty good.
They're going to have, well, he had a head start, and he had a good niche, I admit, but, you know, year after year after year, day after day of the same show, and the guy does the same show. He never takes any challenging phone calls because
Rush Limburger.
All right. The liberals. The liberals. You know, and.
He's got too many Oxycontins in his cheek.
Yeah,
he
right.
Just
he's
can't
a freaking
talk.
Drug addict, and
That's
he's trying
right.
to tell everybody that, you know, drug addicts should be go to jail.
Yeah, right.
How come it's different for Rush?
Well, you know, why do you think he's called Rush?
Yeah, you got a good point, man. I like that one. Golly. No.
All right. Well, I was just calling to talk to take issue about the whole corporate tax dollars and things and such that y'all were talking about, the corporate interest that Bush apparently has.
What do you, as far as now what? I mean, you know, why? We were just wondering before. I know it's just a coincidence. I know there's nothing really about
there. I don't believe in coincidence.
But, you know, why are all these guys connected to big oil? Ever since they got into power, there's been this, I don't know, it's sort of slight, now it's a little bit more than slight, increase in how much we pay for gasoline. Do you find that coincidental?
Well, we haven't had a refinery built here in the nation in the past 20 years. I mean, I disagree with what Bush is doing about releasing the oil from the reserves, because we don't have an oil supply problem. We have a refinery problem. We have a gasoline supply problem. And I think the major issue that we need to take is the fact that...
Well, then what are all those oil tankers and stuff doing down there with that oil?
We're saying there's not enough refineries around. I think this is another ploy where they...
It's not another ploy. It's just the fact that down there, they only produce 25% of what the nation needs to run. Oil is, you know, literally, oil is what makes the engine of America run. And as you progress, and as you grow as an economy, you have to grow all aspects of the nation to keep up with the rest. If we have the same refineries that we had 20 years ago, then we're going to be operating under an economy that we had 20 years ago rather than a progressive economy or a progressive nation that we're trying to have now.
Why won't they build another refinery? I don't care if it's Clinton, Bush, or whoever's in power. What is it about building a refinery that cannot happen? Can't that happen?
Every time we go to build one, we're stopped by a liberal Congress who doesn't want us to build any type of refineries because of the supposed... I mean, the Caribou will just have to suffer for a little bit if we can build a refinery and drill for oil up in Anwar.
We're not going to build a refinery in Alaska. They'll probably build it somewhere in the continental United States.
Well, I mean, drill for oil up there. I apologize.
Right. And by the way, why, you know, I was just reading a magazine. I'm moving, and I had all these magazines from over the decades, you know, and I had one from November of 79, and it went over the 70s. What is it about this country? This just perplexes me in all respects. Why, when we got a first oil embargo in 1973, about 32 years ago, why hasn't America learned its lesson? In 32 years.
Because they're being led blindly and being dumbed down.
You believe in that, Aaron?
I couldn't really hear you that well. Could you ask the question again? I apologize.
Why hasn't America learned its lesson about oil conservation and moving? And also, why hasn't the car manufacturers created an engine that gets really serious good gas mileage?
Then
why?
They can't sell you gas.
Well, because there's several reasons. There's a top car manufacturer, I believe it's the head of GM, that was talking about if every single car that we have nowadays that we're driving in was ripped out and thrown away, and replaced, if every automobile in America was replaced with a hybrid vehicle, which I'm not against hybrid vehicles, that's fine. If they were replaced with a hybrid vehicle, we'd be right back in the same condition we are now in 6 years. Now, I'm all for finding a cleaner way for energy and finding a more progressive way for energy. That's fine. I don't care as long as it doesn't attack my wallet. But you can't come down on the manufacturers.
Well, unfortunately, your wallet's being jacked right now anyway.
Well, the reason they're being jacked right now is because you have people that are taking advantage of a tragedy. All right,
well, that's
now,
for sure.
I agree with you on that. You know, because down in Georgia, they had gas prices up over
$6. $6, that's exactly right.
Now, I agree. I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
That's an outrage.
Yeah, it is. It's embarrassing.
But Aaron, I mean, we were headed towards $3 a gallon anyway. Let's face it.
Hey, I know we were headed towards $3 a gallon. I understand that. But like I said, We have to realize that we have to grow all aspects of our economy and all aspects of our nation. We have to start building some refineries to take our oil so we're less dependent on foreign oil. Also, I mean, Ted Kennedy in his own state doesn't want windmills erected because they're ugly. I mean, if he's all for conserving energy, if he's all for finding an alternate energy source, put up a freaking windmill. I mean, come on.
I don't want any windmill in the backyard over at the... Hyannis area. It looks like hell, and me and my wife prefer not to have a windmill in the backyard. It's down somewhere in South Boston.
Hemp is the only renewable resource that does not create pesticide-ridden ground.
Aaron, do you agree that we got too many draconian drug laws that are putting the wrong people in prison?
I think that the war on drugs can be, to be honest with you, and I'm probably going to get hit pretty hard here by the interest there, but I think that marijuana is a silly drug. I think that it dumbs down our youth. It dumbs down people. I think that it is.
I have to stop you here. I've been smoking since 13. Do you consider me dumb?
I don't know you. I can't say if you're dumb or not.
So how can you say other people who smoke pot are dumb? The dumbing down of this country is through the education system, not the marijuana. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just telling you my opinions on marijuana. If you want to talk about the education system, we can talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
All right? But I'm talking about the fact that marijuana is a gateway drug that leads into harder drugs.
You really believe that? So do you think I'm sitting here doing lines of meth? You think I'm sitting here doing lines of meth because I started smoking pot a number of years ago?
Hey, I don't know you. I don't know.
You don't know the facts either.
Well,
if you really truly believe that marijuana is a gateway drug, I can quote the government that even they, in their real studies, claim that that's a false information that's being spread around this country and other places.
Well, I've heard the exact opposite.
Well, you know, you can choose what you read. But I'm 46, and the only gateway drug I've ever had in my life was sugar and tobacco. And those were and I'm still trying to kick the sugar habit. And the way I kicked tobacco was I used marijuana. Okay? I can go every day without marijuana if I choose to. But when I was a tobacco smoker for 25 years, I could not kick it until I decided to really start focusing on it. And if I wanted to hit the tobacco, I took a hit of pot instead. It is a medical value. It does not make people stupid. Excuse me, sir. It does not make people stupid. There are millions of people that have good jobs, tax-paying citizens who care about what happens in this country that also smoke marijuana. They are not out there doing cocaine. They are not out there doing heroin. They're not out there trying to get meth and Oxycontins like Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Well,
let's discuss what the real gateway drugs are.
You can quote me and tell me your life, and that's wonderful. I appreciate it.
And you're putting out information that isn't even based on facts. You're putting out your own opinion. So marijuana is not a gateway drug, okay? The reason why that propaganda...
That's because everybody's sharing your opinion right now.
No, it is not my opinion. It's based on facts.
Let me finish the statement.
It's based on facts.
Let him talk, Lynn. And I think the bottom line is, in some cases, people that smoke pot do go on to use harder drugs. In other cases, people that smoke pot stick with pot. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to that.
Well, because somebody who used pot moved on does not make the pot the gateway drug.
There's no real answer to that question.
Yes, there is. The law puts marijuana in the same dealer's hands as cocaine and heroin and other drugs.
Look,
so when the person goes to buy pot,
I'm just saying.
I'm just making a point. Let me make my point.
Okay.
The law has put marijuana in the same category as hard drugs, and the drug dealers have all of those drugs like the drugstore, and the person, okay, the pot's more expensive. I'll take the cocaine today because that's less expensive than the pot.
All right, go ahead, Aaron. Wrap up.
Well, since this is a one-sided argument, if we could go on to something else right now, I mean, you could tell me that you started smoking pot when you were 13 or 46 and it hasn't affected you like that. But you
not at all.
Have people out there that
only
say,
in a positive way.
Well, Jesus, let me finish.
Yeah, let him go.
All right, now if somebody can also come up and say, I've smoked cigarettes since I was 13, and I'm 50 right now, and I don't have cancer, but we got people dropping dead of secondhand smoke and cancer from smoking cigarettes all over the place. You may be an exception to the rule.
No,
just because you may have a tolerance for this doesn't mean that somebody else has a tolerance for this. And I think releasing some of this stuff on the streets.
It's already on the streets.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah. It's already on the streets.
The drug war
put it on the streets.
What she's saying and what a lot of people believe, and a lot of conservatives, honestly, believe that no matter how much money, effort, and manpower you put into this drug war, you're never going to stop the drugs from coming in this country.
Because as long as
you've got the demand, the supply will always find its way.
That's exactly
right. You know, this has been going on since Nixon. Nothing's really stopped. How many times have you heard the claim, our biggest bust to so far, and it never stops.
Never.
And really, in the world we're living in today, you want these guys, the manpower, to concentrate on Homeland Security and forget the drug thing.
Do you really want somebody busting Art Garfunkel for a joint when they should be rebuilding the levees?
Or doing something. Aaron, you got to agree with that.
Well, they pulled Art Garfunkel over because he was speeding, not because they wanted to look for a pot.
Okay, but they didn't have to go, I smell marijuana, let me search your car.
Well, the problem was he was hurrying up to get some pot. He ran out. I mean, sometimes,
no, he had to join, and that, you know, we can joke all we want. The facts remain. I'm going to quote Gatewood Galbraith, who's an attorney in Lexington.
Yes.
I wouldn't think he's stupid by any stretch of the imagination. As he said, the only thing marijuana ever made me want to do is be an attorney. So I guess it is the gateway drug, and it makes you want to be an attorney, right? Now, George Bush smoked pot. Maybe that's what made him stupid.
Evildoers.
George Bush also snorted cocaine.
And he liked it, and he had a good time, Aaron. You got to remember that.
He got
that.
A DUI. Alcohol, if anything, is the gateway drug. It's alcohol.
It was amazing
don't,
that
don't
he...
You have your, don't you have your own show to do?
She's got
it. I called in to talk to Larry about the economy. I didn't call in to
I'm a guest on
about,
the show.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, Aaron. Let's get you in here maybe in the next 2 weeks, and we'll do it for an hour.
Hey, that sounds great. I mean, I appreciate it because I'll stand here and tell you that I don't know near as much about medicinal marijuana or anything like that as the Hempters does, and I appreciate her giving me these facts because it's obviously going to be something that I study. What? All right? Now, all I want to say, I appreciate you telling me that. I just wanted a chance to talk is all.
Okay. We'll definitely email me again, and we'll get you in, if not next Thursday, the following. So in the next 2 weeks, we'll get you in. We'll show you. I don't care what side they're on. We show all sides here on The Bottom Line.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Keep in touch. We'll get you on the next 2 weeks, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You see, that's the problem
right,
with
left,
people in
I don't
this
care.
Country is they believe the propaganda.
I want all sides to be heard.
I have to make this statement because this whole show started out with me saying if hemp had been grown, we would not have the global warming issues and we would not have the disastrous hurricanes and things that are happening that has destroyed one of our major
if
cities.
If we had
okay,
pot.
Let me finish, please.
Okay, hurry up.
Because, you know, I interrupt yes,
I
we
know.
Go back and forth. If the hemp was being grown, we would not be in this situation, okay? Now, see.
All right, hold on.
I have too many things going on.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
Kabaka, we've been wondering. We've got questions to ask you. I heard the infamous call to Lincoln's show last week. For God's sakes, man, how could you? Yes, I've never heard Lincoln that upset.
Let me just say this first. David Pepper is not going to make it out of the primary.
Oh,
and
my
the
God,
boycott
I hope
is
not.
And the boycott is going strong. Larry Ornette, you know that I've been banned off the buzz many
yes.
times, and I consider it a badge of honor, but this is the greatest ban of all. They claiming that I'm banned because the delegate held up a banner of the buzz at our Black Resistance Day, and they said since I'm the leader of the Black Fist and it's my permit, I have to be held responsible, which I don't have no problem with that. I consider it a badge of honor to be banned. But you want to know the real reason why I'm banned? Because all of them was working with the white man to try to get people to come to the jazz festival / coon festival. Right. Remember, that was the first thing that left during the boycott was the jazz festival. So they promised them that they would fill that stadium up. They needed a minimum of 40,000 those two nights to even make it seem like they had some kind of victory. We counted 25,000 for
two
nights.
They
counted 33,000. Me and the Honorable William Kirkland worked hard for two straight months to make sure that they didn't use the jazz festival / coon festival to bust the boycott. So me and the Honorable William Kirkland are truly leaders of the boycott, and we and all of the boycott leaders did a superb job in making sure that the jazz festival was an economic failure, and that is the reason why Lincoln Ware and them really banned me from the
Yeah, but wait a minute. Yeah, but I mean, legitimately speaking, I would have been as ticked off if you guys were down on the square doing something that I don't agree with, and you pulled out a buzz banner.
Let me just say
somebody
this.
Said somebody else
everything that I said on the square, everything that the delegates said on the square, everything that Kim or Israel said on the square, is the same thing that we say on the buzz anyway. What they was worried about is...
Kabaka, you can't do that under the...
They was worried about all the white people down there thinking that this is a representation of the buzz, and the white people down there, they know us for a fact. They know that we ain't no representatives of the buzz.
Yeah, but come on, Beyond. Put yourself, you got to put yourself in their shoes.
I understand that, because every place that I work, whether I work for white people or black people, I take off their uniform before I protest, so I can identify with that. But what Mr. Ware had to understand is the delegate is a general in the Black Fist. I don't check his bag. He does what he want to do because he is a general. I can't set him down, and I wouldn't set him down. He has a right to do what he want to do. Now, since that was made clear, they said, "Well, General Kabaka, we understand that you didn't have the banner. You don't know. You didn't know nothing about it. But it was your permit. You are the leader. We holding you responsible." And I said, "I ain't got no problem with that. I accept my ban from the buzz. I consider it a badge of honor. But when people protest with us, they have a right to bring what they want. They have a right to do whatever they want. And if the police bother them or somebody's bother them, we back them up and we protect them. But we don't check people's bags. Say if you and that young lady came to protest with us, Larry, we ain't going to say, well, Larry, we got to strip search you first. And we got to check the young lady right there for marijuana. And what kind of signs do y'all have?
Well, what if let's say there was a Klan rally going on there and they put out a Black Fist banner and put it around them as they were chanting white power, white power. Now, how would you feel?
I wouldn't. Things like that don't bother me. I got hit from on the bus for 30 straight days because they figured if they ruined my reputation, the black people specifically of Cincinnati wouldn't pay attention to me and the Honorable William Kirkland, and they would go down to the music festival or jazz festival, since you don't like the other word. But the people went on Nate's website, which is Black Cincinnati. blogspot.com, and they read my article about the boycott, and they said, well, wait a minute, we not going there. Now think about this, Larry. They tased the black man on the plaza level in front of the guests. They doubled and tripled the hotel rates. They blocked off the streets and made you come out of the garage and go straight to the expressway. No driving around downtown, coming in town and leaving town. They was ticketing black people on the expressway. They treated black people as if black people were coons, and that's why we said that we cannot go down to Paul Brown Stadium and give them any money until we get jumped.
You were getting it. I'll tell you, I really don't like that word.
But okay, I won't use it no more. All you have to do is say, okay, we straight. We won't use it no more.
You really got into it. I really got into it with Kenny Lawson on that one. I heard that battle.
Who?
Kenny Lawson, man.
Right, because
he didn't like you using
what
that
I was
word.
Doing was, if you notice, I was trying to explain things to them, but see, the agenda in their mind was, we got to make this guy look bad because the people are listening to him. We got to fill that stadium up because we promised that we would fill it up, but we're saying that we're not going to stop the boycott until we get some justice. So while I'm trying to explain to them, they hollering and screaming. You can tell they had some kind of hatred or some kind of hidden agenda, because why would they talk to their brother like that? But see, Larry, I'm going to tell you something. When black people are being pressured and promised things to the white man and they don't deliver, they know it's going to be a backlash from their white master. But see, we don't have no white masters or no black masters. Our master is God. So we're dealing with what's just. The boycott is strong, and it will continue until we get justice. You heard that from...
But Kabaka, regardless of... Okay, they didn't get 40,000. 33,000, if that's what they got. A bunch of people... African-Americans still turned out en masse to that and to the black family reunion.
Let me just tell you this. The majority of the people were from out of town, and they told them that the boycott was over. We informed them, gave them information. Most of them told us that they weren't coming back because they were lied to. They needed a minimum of 40-some thousand in 2 days to even make it look like they did a good job. And 33,000, but we say 25,000 was nowhere near enough. They really was expecting about 40 to 45 or 50,000. You know, that would mean 20,000 or 25,000 each night. They didn't come nowhere near that because the black people realized that Paul Brown Stadium was built with black tax dollars, developers, no contractors, no subcontractors, no jobs. Why should we pay to go to Paul Brown Stadium? I'm glad they listened to us.
Are you and JR an item? What's going on?
I
heard Nikki X down with you and JR on the radio.
Watch this. I'm going to answer this. No, sir. Me and JR, she protests with us. I respect her as a protester, like all of the women in the boycott. And I respect her as a protester. A lot of people don't like her, so they've been telling me don't like her. Nobody tells me who to like.
Right.
I respect her like I respect everybody else. There's nothing intimate going on with me and JR. Me and JR ain't never even been nowhere together.
I wouldn't blame you in the heat of activism.
And
one night your eyes meet on a fiery moment, and God only knows what could take place.
I wouldn't lie to you. If a woman is my woman, I would say that she's my woman. If I'm sleeping with a woman, I would say I'm sleeping with a woman. But I respect her as a protester. She's never, ever approached me in any kind of intimate way, and I've never even tried nothing like that with her.
All right.
People don't like her, so they figure if they link me with her, the trouble that she got, I'll have. But I'm not going to not associate myself with her just because people don't like her. I like her. She's a good, hard-working protester,
and she's
been working with us for the last year.
Why don't you write Link an apology and probably get back on the
bus? No, I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't suck up kids up like that.
But why don't you become, you know, why don't you admit
it is a badge of honor to be banned from the book because we did a good job in the boycott, and I joined the rest of the band soldiers in band soldier heaven.
All right, man. Keep in touch and give us the latest adventures.
I heard her say she was working on getting a show. We hope that you get your show.
And you're welcome on my show anytime, Kabaka, and so is JR.
Yeah, we'll get you on here one of these days.
When David Pepper tried to pull that marijuana...
They were right there with us.
When David Pepper tried to pull that marijuana gangster move, did he get taught a good lesson?
Yes, he did.
And he haven't taken the drug test that Charlie Winburn and them took yet.
That's exactly
Winburn.
Right.
I hope he doesn't become mayor.
What was he really doing when he got kidnapped? You was it a drug sex thing gone bad?
You don't want Winburn as mayor, do you?
Well, we don't want David Pepper for sure. Anybody except David Pepper.
Oh, okay. No Pepper.
And no Pepper and no George Bush. And
that's
incidentally,
right.
George Bush is looking very bad about
that. Oh, man. His poll numbers are lower than a bad limbo party.
I mean, and check this out. They showed a picture of a white person with some food, and they said that person found that food. They showed a picture of a black person with some food, and
said the person looted
and stole the food.
Oh,
who cares?
Man.
It's a flood. That food is going to be bad. Let the people have it.
I totally agree with them.
They're alive until they get rescued.
That's exactly right. Walmart should be giving that food away.
All right, keep in touch.
Hey. It was nice talking to you too, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm glad to be banned because I'm a soldier. I thought I told you.
All right, man. Keep in touch.
He's welcome on my show anytime, Larry. And I totally agree with him. I said this myself.
Okay. 749-1440.
I said this myself just last night. What is wrong with Walmart? They're worried about being looted. They should be giving this stuff to everybody. Unload the grocery stores.
It comes from China anyway.
They'll probably wait till it's bad. Then they'll give it up.
Oh, my God.
You can have it now. It stinks.
Well, I have to say what I was
literally.
You distracted me.
Wait a minute, though. We got to get to these calls. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hemp just rocks. Free weed.
JR.
The real JR
the diva.
What's going on with you and Kabaka? Spill the beans. We've heard too much, too often, too loud. Linking you two activists together. Now, I know in the heat of the moment.
Well, they would look really cute together.
I have to say,
when they came down to help us with the pepper incident, they came separately.
They did?
Yes, they did.
Thank you. Thank you for confirming that.
That, absolutely. She came in, and she was the coolest, man. She came in with the sign, free the weed, get a life, David Pepper.
It
was wonderful.
Are you sure you don't have an announcement forthwith to tell us about?
Oh, I do, but we don't even have time. You have like 60 seconds left, but I'm going to plug my show and say that everything gets clarity on second and fourth Thursdays, your old stomping ground.
Do you, Kabaka Abba, take JR to protest, put down the white man, and create havoc no matter where you
just
are in
the
Cincinnati?
Stupid white men.
Do you promise to apologize to Lincoln Ware for all the bad things that you've said about him, Kenny Lawson, and Junebug?
Oh, yeah, sure. I should definitely apologize. I'm definitely the victim in all of this. But
when's
again,
the last time you went to the Buzz Barbecue?
Well, I've had many buzzes at my barbecues.
Golly.
You guys got to stop thinking that stuff is credible on the Buzz. It's the most bogus stuff. But second and fourth Thursdays on 7 to 8 p.m. on Channel 24, Cable Access.
All right.
You'll get the real deal, man.
All right. I've been moving, so I missed last week's show.
Yeah. I gave quite a bit of a breakdown of all the crap, but unfortunately, there's still a little bit more to clarify because, I mean, these cats have been working overtime to, like, try to put my character under. It's really horrible, but we're going to spend most of the time dealing with this whole Louisiana thing, though, because this is just devastating, and I hate the way, the disparity and the way it's been dealt with.
Yeah.
Do you think this is actually any less catastrophic than 9-1-1?
It's way more catastrophic.
Yeah.
It's 20 times, 50 times worse than that anybody could even compare.
Exactly, and then, but
that
the
was
propaganda
a few city
machine
blocks.
Worked 24 hours and then some when 9-11 went down. And that's not to undermine anybody's loss during 9/11.
What'd you just say? What'd you say went down?
I said the propaganda machine was working overtime during 9/11. You know, all the churches opened up, all the synagogues, everybody had prayer.
Well, I would assume the churches are doing, they better be doing something down there.
If they're not flooded.
Well, okay. Well, I'm not talking about them, but just everywhere.
Yeah,
look at the
everywhere.
A massive response that 9/11 got.
That's I bet you this gets a massive response,
but this
JR.
Whole towns are wiped out, man.
Yeah, right.
And you got your president saying, well, we're going to do something.
Don't get in more gas than you have to.
Exactly. You know?
Go out and spend money.
There's nothing wrong with
He'll probably
picture.
Still tell him to go out and spend money in Louisiana
right.
and like nothing happened, just like he did on 9/11 in New York.
Sure.
Go out and spend money and have fun. Hey, you idiot, there's 8 feet of water in downtown.
Thank you. And I find it funny that of all the devastation you have sometimes to focus on, you know, there's always going to be some opportunistic folks.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
always going to be that. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, is that does somebody taking a damn television really matter when people are stranded in alligator infested
yeah.
water?
And see, that's the other issue. They're not even talking about it in the news. We were talking about that in my house the other night. Nobody's mentioning the alligators. They're in so much danger.
I mean,
besides
so
the corrupted water.
Well, I got news for you though. In that neighborhood where the African Americans are, there would no alligator go in there, and his life depended on it. I got news for you.
Well, you may not like the word coon, but you certainly like poking fun at disastrous situations. Kind of reminds
nah,
me of
like your buddy, what's his name, playing the race card today. Did you hear him, Cunningham? He's not really a racist.
Idiot.
I know, he was really playing the race card. He kept talking about all the looters and stuff. Now, granted, it's not good, but still. You know, God forbid if that mother
him.
Was down there, what would he be doing to get food?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, this is just far-reaching proportions, and I just find this country's response to it starting out a little bit slower than I think it should, and it's just...
I think everybody's in shock. I really do.
I do, too, and I think the logistics of it all, they obviously didn't know what to do, and I'll tell you something, this bears very bad omens in case we have a freaking terrorist attack like the one they're really afraid of. If we can't respond quickly to whatever,
right?
You know, then it's scary. And I like how the other day CNN and everybody, they're giving a play-by-play of all the key port areas that have gasoline that are vital to the United States production of oil. Like, why don't they just tell Al-Qaeda, hey, dudes, here's a map. If you want to blow everything up out of
here
proportion.
It is.
Right,
right,
exactly.
But also what I smell is another, twisted sense of here it comes. Let's use this catastrophe
to
put a Bush face on it. See, this is why
we're
going to
save
the oil. You know,
exactly.
I'm loving it. They're doing the same thing they did at 9/11. This is about 9/11 and Osama bin Laden. But somehow it sort of just kind of turned to mass destruction weapons and what's his name? The guy that the other one,
Rumsfeld,
the one they got. In captive now. Saddam Hussein. Somehow
Hussein,
it became about him, but they rushed to put a catastrophic event to put a face on it and say this is why we're going to do this.
But you know what? I think the poll numbers are down for Bush in a most incredible way, and I just think, I don't know if he's going to get out of this, because his poll numbers are down. People are feeling very uneasy about life in America now. Yes, the numbers for the economy look good for a while, but there was something not really seen in those numbers, and there's an unease about your job security, about health benefits, about the future, about your buying power. Housing starts have been great for sure, but there's just an unease going on, and this really is going to perpetuate it.
Well, so what? We've got what? A good three more years left with
I guess Lynn wants to say something before we go, because we got to get out of here.
Yeah, we've only got like 30 seconds left. I have to make my point about the oil industry.
Yes.
The oil industry is why marijuana is illegal, because marijuana is oil. And this created our environmental disaster by not using hemp since the 30s and destroying our environment with the oil industry, who is now in control and watching this disaster happen. That's what's created it. If we had been growing hemp and not outlawing it because they said it was the gateway drug,
exactly,
to use that excuse and that propagandic lie against,
we'd be making paper with it.
We could be making paper.
The lumber industry.
Exactly.
Come on, Larry.
That's why it's illegal, Larry.
You don't care about paper.
That's
do you?
Oh, absolutely.
Unless
I
it's
do.
Rolled around a marijuana.
No,
okay.
No, they want to kill lumber.
They want to kill
that.
Lumber.
They
that's exactly
take
right.
The marshlands like they did down.
Do you
in
know what
Louisiana?
We could do if we grew hemp in the marshes okay. down there? It would totally secure them because it's that type of plant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I gotta get out of here, JR.
It would fix the erosion.
Keep in touch, JR.
All right.
Give
bye,
us the lowdown on you and Kabaka next time. All right. See ya.
I want to plug my phone
real
line, 513-684-HEMP and www.hemprock.com.
Larry's Bottom Line.
And I'm on next week, Tuesday midnight, Hemprock Radio.
Larry'sBottomLine.com is the website. Keep in touch. Check us out on TV. And we'll be back next week. Stay tuned for Kitty's Blues.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay.
Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. So much younger than today. I never needed anybody.
You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati. The name of the show is Kitty's Blues, so stay tuned. I'm going to start my show off with a song dedicated to Lynn, Larry's co-host this evening, and so stay tuned. This one goes out to Lynn. Hello, we've got a little problem here with that CD player. So we're going to just put that on another, hopefully, another CD player. And because I don't want you to miss this one. This one goes out to Lynn.
Take a whiff quick, I'm gonna knock myself out. I'm gonna kill myself, baby. I'm gonna knock myself out, baby. Gradually by degrees. I was blowing my gauge, my fun, till I spied a policeman and I started to run. I was knocking myself out. I was killing myself, baby. I'm gonna knock myself out, baby. Gradually by degrees. Other night, a sign upon a door said everything gone to be alright. When, 'cause I was knocking myself out, I was killing myself, baby. I'm gonna knock myself out, baby, gradually by degrees. I didn't used to blow gauge, drink nothing of a kind. But now that my gal quit me, I'm gonna have to change my mind. I'm gonna knock myself out. I was killing myself, baby. I'm gonna knock myself out, baby. Gradually by degrees.
All right. That one was Catfish Keith, knocking myself out. Okay, WAIF FM as community radio station.